You have just entered the Katie Ma Podcast.
Hey guys, what's going on? And welcome to episode 289 of the Katie Ma Podcast. It is August 13th, 2017. And your boys are back again at it. You know, Katie Zen, of course, Volition, and me, APL Fisher. Good to be back. Hope you had a good week. How has your week been, gentlemen?
How's it been? Great.
How's it been hanging? Little low good. To the left? Or
a little bit, good. Yeah.
Good. I mean, it's a little warm, so, you know, it's definitely...
Absolutely.
There's a little bit of sweat, but, you know, can't complain.
Hangage, yeah, especially when it's warmer, too, you hang lower, generally.
It's really weird. For some reason, some part of my week hangs a lot lower than the other. I don't get it.
And it's like, but again,
the left side of the week.
Yeah, it's the left side, yeah.
Oh man, I definitely experienced that as well. That's good.
I don't get it.
What's been going on, Katie? Talk to me. How's your? I mean, anything exciting happened this week? You just been working?
Just working, and then I don't know if it really counts as what I've been playing, but I built a Raspberry Pi.
Nice.
You said that.
Yeah, got into that. I was basically tired of waiting for the the Super Nintendo Mini, so I bought a Raspberry Pi. Bought a nice case for it. I'll grab it real quick. Sorry about that, gentlemen. Yeah, bought it. Nice little, you know, workable case. It's just the official one. Mm-hmm. And mainly just loaded up with emulators, all of which I, of course, purchased legally and own. Completely compliant with piracy laws.
Yeah, I mean, we can see your game collection. Some of it's behind you, so you...
Yeah,
you own physical copies for all of the things that you would emulate.
Exactly.
Absolutely, yeah. If you turn your head that way, I mean, I won't turn the camera, that's just too much work, but you'll see just piles of cartridges with everything, illegally.
Cleanly cataloged and everything. Really impressive.
Yes, yeah, and then I've got stacks of binders about where they're all located. Mm-hmm. No. But,
How much have you messed with it so far?
Well, I had to toy with it a little bit. It's been giving me some issues where, like, the first time, because you have to, like, format the SD card and, you know, like, write a specific image on it to get the operating system going. And, like, the first time I tried it out, it was, like, I was getting a lot of issues with the newest software where I would, like, the first time I got it working, I would go into, apparently you're supposed to go into the menu of the operating system and shut it down from there instead of just powering it off. So, you know. It's, you know, it doesn't corrupt your data or it's like saves everything. And the first time that I shut it down, it had some bug where it would just turn, it would brick and it would never turn on again. And so I thought my Raspberry Pi was dead. But after formatting my SD card, writing the image on it again, I was able to like start it over. And so I downloaded an earlier like version of the software that it's called RetroPie that you do everything through. And, like doing that and then that solved the issue. So I was able to get all my ROMs on there and everything and everything's working pretty well. I was really surprised with, you know, at the end of the day, how easy it was and like compared to like how much I was spending compared to, you know, other means of going about it. It was pretty cool. And I feel like more people should, you know, hop on that. The Raspberry Pi is a really cool little device. So
I actually saw those on we went to Fry's the other day. And I saw those just end, like an end shelf at Fry's. And it was like $25 for one. I was like, I don't really need one, but I kind of want to get one. And I decided against it, but you're making me think that I should just like grab one because there's so many cool things you can do with it and it would be fun to tinker with.
Yeah, definitely. Like for the one I got is the Pi 3 Model B, the newest one, quad core processor, gigabyte of RAM, $35. So it's pretty, it's been
price point wise. That's nice.
Yeah. It that's only starts
for
to struggle.
$35.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's really bare bones. They literally just ship you, you know, the motherboard, but, you know, buying the case, there's tons of custom stuff. And I love watching videos of what people can do with their stuff. Like the guy who, got different flavored Altoids boxes and like puts all the components inside and then like, took out, basically kind of harvested like DS buttons and put them in to kind of have like a portable kind of Raspberry Pi with him. Like he put a screen inside of there too. And just like little projects like that people make. It's so cool. But, it's fun. It's really simple. Just, you know, SD card, And one more thing, like the power supply you need, apparently you can just use like any phone or tablet charger, but I wanted to buy one just to play it safe. And because there's no power button on the unit itself, the cord I got actually has like a switch on it. So just for that convenience, it's kind of cool. But yeah, I think for the money, it's definitely worth it with what you can do and just, you know, the portability of it, because just like having all these ROMs on my computer, you know, that's cool. That's exciting. But having it like this portable, it's just, I was giddy. Like, it's just really cool. Like to take it places.
Yeah. So have you played games on it? Like, have you actually hooked it up and
played on it? Yeah. For the most part, performance has been pretty good. I haven't really like strained it. I haven't tried, like, apparently you can run, Super Mario 64 really well. You can run some PlayStation 1 games. Mm. And Dreamcast as well. I know GameCube, PS2, of course, that's, you know,
that's not crazy to me. But... on a Pi, you can run. Yeah.
Yeah. Mario 64, apparently. Yeah, but it's not all across the board for 64 games. Like, I know some, like, Bomberman are unplayable. Like, apparently Spyro is really good. That excites me. I'd love to get all the Spyros on there. I want to get Castlevania Symphony of the Night on there. Anyways, but from what I've played, just, like, Super Nintendo games, you know, the Donkey Kongs, Mario World, Mario RPG, and Game Boy Color games. Also, a lot of Game Boy Advance games. There's a really good library there. Everything's been running smoothly, and everything, like, looks beautiful. Like, it just, the output resolution and the kind of upscaling goes into it. The software you download, you don't really choose what emulator. It's all pretty much pre-installed on there. You just drag the ROMs over to the correct file, and it'll automatically assign the right kind of emulator to it. But everything just looks and plays beautifully. You can't really do much with save states or save states and things like that, but that's fine. But yeah, I've really been enjoying it. And I feel like that's going to suck a lot of my time away. But I really want to make sure that the software is there, because I don't want to sink a lot of time into like a save file for, you know, A Link to the Past and then get it corrupted again. Yeah. You know,
you don't want to spend a ton of time and then not have like your saves work properly and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be devastated. It's not like you can, you know, I need to see if there's a way you can back up memory. Like onto like a flash drive or something.
Katie Zen, I'm gonna ask the question. I think everybody's wondering: have you watched porn on it yet?
I have not.
Okay.
Yet.
Okay. Just wondering.
But that is, you know, I mean, you can.
That's a sacred time with the device, where, you know, if you are able to access.
He's going for that retro porn. Right. He's going to put Winamp on his.
on his right.
Raspberry Pi. Yeah, that's what I mean. Have an old school wank to some with Winamp as your aid.
Oh my God.
That's good. Okay. Well, let me know when you do and what it is, and then send me the video.
I will. It's got USB ports, so I can put in my USB flashlight and.
That's amazing! Oh my god! Since it's great for emulators, you could in that case you could do like a Sonic game and then plug your flashlight.
Oh my god! Come on,
it'll be perfect.
I remember
interactive games.
Right. Yeah. I remember a while ago, Linus, he would joke about like a USB butt plug. Where you would like clench to crouch, or like prone to clench. PS games.
You know what? That does not surprise me that Linus talked about that, or the fact that he's probably using one right now.
But, right now.
I'm definitely not bitter about the fact that he called me out all those episodes ago.
yeah, that was pretty savage. I wasn't there for it, but
yeah, you've seen the tape. But
you know, it's been more.
Linus is a good guy. I hope he's enjoying his USB butt plug. But what about you, Brandon? How's your week been?
It's been good. It's been pretty relaxed. Actually, getting ready to go to LAN next weekend, which that's a little teaser. We'll talk about that a little more.
We will.
But then I have some travel coming up after that too. So kind of just getting things ready and getting ready for travel.
Very cool. Yeah. We've got, I'm just going to skip to this. I'll come back to what I've been doing this week, but let's just, because you mentioned LAN, you teased it. Let's just go off script maybe a little bit here or jump ahead rather in the script and talk about the LAN being next weekend, guys. August 18th through the 20th. This is going to be, again, and I feel like every year we're always like, this is going to be the biggest one yet, the best one yet, but it has improved every single year, I feel like. In different aspects. Like last year was a year where I think we finally got a venue, Brandon, that was like super suited for what we needed.
Yeah.
And you know, the setup and everything and the production value really ramped up a notch. And we're going to be at the same spot that we were last year, LFG. which they're fantastic. And now that we've been there a year already, I'm sure setup will be a lot easier. But we've got so many people coming in. Just to name a few, of course, Katie Zen, you're going to be there this year, which is really exciting. Brandon, of course, like you said, flying in. We've got Hardballers going to be there. We've got Yingity Yang, who you've heard on this podcast a couple times already, and is actually doing an Extra Life stream right now, one of his Extra Life streams, as we speak. I mean, who else? I know I'm missing people, but
Timmy will be there.
Timmy, that's right. Timmy at the queue is going to be there, aka Sean. Yeah. Other people I'm missing, but it's going to be.
I can't say if it'll be our best one ever, but it is objectively going to be our biggest one ever because we have a lot of people coming in that are going to be there on site. So there will be a whole bunch of personalities, and a lot of people that we've known online for a while, but haven't necessarily met in person. I'm really looking forward to meeting a whole bunch of people whose names I'm sure I recognize, but I don't think I've met most of them in person. And that's exciting.
Exactly. Right.
So it should be a fun weekend.
You're definitely going to want to hold on to your extra change too, for some donations. Cause we've got some awesome, giveaways going on. Like we've shared a couple of things on our Twitter, like some very handsome SSDs from a good friend, Tetra Ninja. Also that Core i7 that, is like the, that's the grand prize, right? The we're doing like the PC giveaways, right?
I think so. Yeah. We don't have everything finalized yet, but we do have a 7700K that I think is going in a PC. But I don't want to spoil it because I don't actually know the details at the moment. But it's we'll have giveaways like we do every year. We're going to be doing a stream 3 days, so Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so we have, if you go to our Twitch page, twitch.tv/kbmod/events, you can get reminded for each of the streams. I would recommend you go do that so you won't forget. Just block out your calendar. We're going to be live most of the weekend. Lots of awesome people going, lots of prizes. So yeah, do save up your money. You know, you got a week between now and then, or I don't know, less than a week, 5 days. So save up your change. You know, maybe skip out on that Starbucks this week, you know, maybe skip breakfast, just be cognizant of the money you spend this week, because you really should come this weekend and donate it to Extra Life. And, you know, we're going to have a lot of fun things going on. So
it's going to be a great time. It's going to be, yes, times are going to are in ESTEDT or whatever. So, we can take a look at the schedule and all that when that is pretty much finalized. So cannot stress enough. I'm very excited. Like I said, the lineup of people that are coming, that, like you said, the donation incentives, Katie, or the just the giveaways, but then the donation incentives. Like that's the other thing, is the stuff that can happen on a KBMod Extra Life land stream you may not expect. I mean, we've already got anyway, I gotta talk to Tim, but we've got some hot food donation incentives. Timmy at the queue, eats, I'm just gonna say it now, he eats boneless wings with a fork, he eats a lot of things with a fork that he shouldn't. But one of the donation incentives may be making him eat. He doesn't do well with hot food, so extremely spicy wings while using his hands could be a donation incentive. So stuff like that you're really going to want to be partial to need to be in the KBMod Extra Life stream. So August 18th through the 20th. I mean, we've been talking about it so much, guys. There's really no, like, I don't want anybody to come in and be like, because you know what triggers me? Certain years we'll be doing, you know, we're hosting Brandon, and people come in the chat and be like, wait, that was this weekend? I see it every year.
Yeah.
I see it every year. And there's no excuse, because we've been talking about it ad nauseum for so long.
Yeah.
So,
especially because this year we're doing it earlier than we typically do. So we tried to go out of our way to make sure people were aware. So if you come in next weekend, here's the thing. You need to tell your friends too, right? Cause like you probably have friends that watch KBMod, or maybe they tune in every now and then. You don't want them to accidentally last minute stop in on like Sunday at 6 p.m. and say, oh, hey, that was going on this weekend. I didn't even know. Don't let them miss out. So tell your friends about it. Put it on your calendar. Make a calendar invite and then invite all your friends to it. Right? There's just no excuse. Yep. No one should miss this. In less than 5 days, we will be coming to you live again, but we will all be in the same physical space.
Yep.
Exactly. That is just mind blowing to think that I'll be sitting at the same table as the Inbox guy and the Famous Tribes YouTuber. It's just
So really, I want to give a little tease for the podcast this year. We've talked about it again. I haven't finalized it, but it's looking like it's going to be, I don't know, Brandon, if we want to say, but it's looking like it's going to be very food oriented is all I'm going to say in regards to the podcast, which, I'm excited about. And also the way that I was thinking about framing it too, Katie as possibly our guinea pig, Brandon, for trying things that he's never tried before.
Yes.
Because I feel like he is truly a blank canvas for us to be able to work with. So we'll see. Yes. Anyway,
look at that.
So you're not going to want to miss a lot of special stuff like that. Like you said, that we're all in the same room.
I think it's fair. It's definitely fair to say, and I'm confident in saying that it will be no less food oriented than our typical cast.
That's true. That's very true.
Oh, man. And just that dynamic of not only talking about food, but at, like, interacting and feeding each other on the cast.
Oh, are you going to stick your fingers in my mouth, Katie? Oh, I'm excited.
I definitely want to guide the spoon. Or, if you get what I'm saying.
might be some choo-choo train action.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, there you go. So
don't miss it. It starts Friday, August 18th. So whenever you're listening to this, go to the calendar app on your phone. Look at it. Hopefully you haven't missed it yet, but we're starting on Friday evening and then we'll be going like all day Saturday and then most of the day Sunday. And so it wraps up Sunday night.
Exactly. Sweet. All right. So I know I jumped ahead a little bit. We'll go back. Anything else this week that you guys wanted to share? I can share. I just have one big thing was that we found out the gender of the baby that's going to be still due.
That is your news. Dad,
that is my news. Yeah, so very excited. So we had done some of those, like, you know, we can look up the old wives' tales of like, hey, like this is how you tell you're having a boy or a girl. So there's like, you can just Google them. And so we tallied like a decent amount, and it came out that it was going to be a girl. So 15 of the old wives' tales pointed to a girl, and 8 pointed to a boy. I thought it was going to be a boy, but I didn't know if that was just my own bias, being a guy myself. Like, maybe I think I think that's pretty easy, depending on what gender you are, to be like, oh, I think it's going to be that. But it turned out that it is going to be a girl. So yeah, we're really excited. Obviously, like the cliche of like, I just want a healthy, happy baby kind of thing but it is very real. Like I really didn't have a preference either way. So, and there's a lot of, advantages and I'm really excited about, it being a girl. So, and, so we were able to get that news.
I think presumably it's less work for you, right? Because like you're going to have to like pass off and delegate certain things to the mother.
Yeah,
because you just won't get it.
That's a really good point.
So, I mean, maybe you lucked out because knowing you the way I do, I would say you're a reasonably lazy person.
Yes.
And this feeds right into that.
Wow. Absolutely. Wow. That was a really nice, soft kind of premise, but not too soft. No, that's true.
I don't think I'm saying anything here that no one else is thinking.
No, absolutely not. Or that I haven't said myself, I think, is the other thing. But no, in the sense of like it being a girl though too, like, I don't know. I mean, again, I know we've been talking about gender is a loaded topic in 2017 at all, but, or even stereotypes or anything. But in general, you know, girls tend to be a little bit more mature or mature faster than boys, for sure. So that's one nice thing. Obviously, once she becomes a teenager, that's going to be a whole nother, thing, but I got a lot of years before then. So, but no, we're really excited. So. Yeah, that was our big news. And it was nice that she cooperated for the ultrasound too, because sometimes you go and, you know, they're just not in a position to be able to tell. So she was, very clearly a girl when we went, which was good. They were able to find that right away. So, so my life is going to be very different. I said it last time, but, in, you know, 4.5 months from now, We'll see how often you'll see me. I know we'll get back to some level of normalcy at some point as far as like, but it might take a while.
There'll be a new normal, so to speak.
There will be a new normal. Absolutely. Yeah. It will never be what it was before, but, very excited. So,
that's awesome. Good that hopefully, you know,
that's great.
It's good to hear that things are like progressing along and everything's healthy and all that. Cause,
yes, absolutely.
That's obviously the biggest concern.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. No, everything looks good and on target again for a, December 25th due date. So Christmas Day. So
really?
See what happens.
Okay.
Hey, look, yeah, just feeding into the whole idea of, like, you know, having an easy child here. December 25th, celebrate Christmas and birthday at the same time. Double up. That's half the work.
No, that was the other thing. And if, again, of course, I've talked about this, but the tax break, my friend, if she comes in, if she gets in before January.
Oh, that's true,
like,
yeah.
That's the other huge thing.
December 31st, you're going to be...
I mean, it will still be good for 20. It'll still be good for the next tax year, but I would love it.
But you might as well get it. You know, get it in.
Exactly.
Yeah, those tax advantages for sure.
Oof. We'll see. We'll see what she wants to do. But yeah. So all right. Well, let's go on to what we've been eating. Has there been any notable meals or snacks by any of us this week? I was trying to think if I had anything of note. I had a really nice crab cake sandwich today, actually, for lunch. I hadn't had a crab cake sandwich in a good while.
Crab cake sandwich, those are typically pretty good.
Very good, man.
I'll eat a crab cake just about any way I can get it.
Same. Yeah, I love crab cakes. And I've been trying to, ever since I had that lobster roll that I talked about a couple weeks ago, that just blew me away. I was like, man, I love seafood in almost all its forms. I just need to be getting it more when I'm out. And so this
really
is
do.
Like,
especially because you live on the East Coast. Like, you guys get good seafood all the time.
Exactly. So yeah, I've been trying to, cause normally where I go with something more safer, like, hey, like this is what a go-to is. I branched out and it was fantastic. I mean, like I said, I agree. Like, it was a good choice, but, any of you boys?
Yesterday we went to, like an early dinner. And I got some turkey meatloaf at a restaurant we went to. It was really good.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. I dig turkey meatloaf. It can be done. Turkey obviously dries out a lot faster than other, you know, because there's less fat content. Yeah. So you got to be careful. But
it was quite good. Yeah, I was because I was trying to decide between like that and getting a steak. And I thought, no, you know what? I really like meatloaf. And like you were saying, you kind of get concerned about it being maybe a little too dry. But it was really good. They had like some nice barbecue sauce on it. So that was it's like a good, you don't get turkey meatloaf that often. So it was kind of nice to get something that you would really probably usually only get at a restaurant.
That's good. That's really good. Yeah. And that's a big difference though. Like a steak to turkey.
It was like a sort of a flank steak kind of thing. So that was actually my concern with getting that. Was that kind of the flank steak, sometimes that can be really dry. And so I was like, you know, meatloaf is usually not dry if it's good.
Right.
So I was like, the meatloaf felt like a safer choice. And as it turns out, I'm sure both of them would have been really good, but the meatloaf was really nice. And I got like potatoes with gravy, just a nice, nice dinner yesterday.
Well, that sounds very good right now. I'm ravenous. Katie, anything of note that you ate?
I had some Lucky Charms this morning.
And, okay. I mean, Lucky Charms really are good.
They're really good.
Can't complain.
I mean, objectively, Lucky Charms are good. So that is, I'm not going to say that that's not a valid topic for this part of the podcast.
I agree with that statement. This is what I'm talking about, though, Brandon. This is why I'm excited to have this canvas at land, because I know I'm going to be able to look at a few, like, there's restaurants around where the Land Center is and stuff like that. And I know for a fact we're going to be able to point to any number of items and Katie's going to be like, I've never had that, which is good.
Right.
Because I want to be able to experience that in person with him the first time and be like, what do you think? Do you like it? Do you not like it?
Yeah, you're right. He is a blank canvas. Right. You just look at that face and you never know what you're going to say. Hey, have you tried that before? And he's going to say, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Or even knows what it is. Exactly. So
I've been holding something back. There is something else I've eaten this week.
Oh?
I had a Domino's pizza.
Oh, yeah, you should be holding that back, actually.
And I thought it was delicious.
Were you able to hold that back?
Damn good. Honestly thought it was really good.
What were you comparing it to? Like, was it good for the price? Was it, like, objectively just delicious?
I mean, I wasn't
When you say
really
good,
what kind of, good? What kind of... So what was it? The normal crust that they give you?
I just had a normal. It was cheese pizza with chicken, you know.
Okay.
And it just.
I mean,
it tasted like a good pizza. I wasn't holding it to like a ridiculously high standard.
Right.
Like definitely better than Little Caesars or you know.
Well, okay.
Better. Honestly. In those tiers, I'll still take Little Caesars over Domino's. But yeah, we're arguing low tier pizza at this point. So.
Yeah, you know.
Like, maybe, do you, yeah. I know we've had the pizza discussion before, but generally, do you guys not have like pizza, like local pizza options that are good, that are not like chain?
We don't really have a lot. We don't really have a lot of local pizzas. I mean,
also, purchase it? Like, did you have to pay money for it, or did someone else buy it?
Someone else bought it.
Okay. And, all right. Okay. Yeah. So I just want to make sure. I feel like that introduces an unconscious bias where like free pizza is pretty much always good pizza.
It's hard to deny that. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, like, they were ordering pizza. Like, my parents were ordering pizza, and then I had known that they were ordering Domino's. And so at first I was like initially, oh God, you know, having Domino's, I'm not going to complain about it or, you know.
Right. Because you're not paying for it. They're going to order it. I mean, shit. Yeah, like those are situations where if somebody else is paying for the pizza, I don't really have a dog in the fight, and I'll eat it. And again, like I said, that would definitely, even though I generally despise Domino's pizza in particular, I have gone to bat for their other items on their menu. I think it's ironic to me that everything else on Domino's is like, not everything, but is like more edible and palatable to me than their pizza. I can't, at least their normal crust. I just don't dig it, but hey, different strokes for different folks. But yeah, that would definitely, free pizza, like you said, Brandon, that's a powerful.
I've eaten a lot of free pizza in my day. It was all pretty good. Yeah. I didn't complain about any of it.
Yeah, okay. Right. All right. Well, all right. So nothing too crazy out of the ordinary. That's fine.
Nah, nothing crazy.
Now, if you had put Lucky Charms on your pizza and then in a bowl of milk, that would have been.
I was going to say, did you put anything, because you said it was just like a cheese and chicken pizza, did you put anything on it? Like any condiments or any seasoning or anything?
No, I dipped it in like some buttery garlic sauce. Okay. But I didn't really do anything crazy.
Okay.
Also, speaking of food, I've got terrible news, which, I mean, for me especially, or only, my trusted ramen noodle meal brand is going out of business.
Oh, no.
And now, it's been, like, I've had yakisoba for a long time, and then I got really tired of them. Like, that just tastes like garbage to me now. And I switched to chow mein. I think there are a couple of you listening out of the couple thousand that know what I'm talking about. The chow mein noodles, those were the best microwavable noodles, and they're just no longer available at my any grocery store.
Can you order them online? Maybe like
I have not considered that.
You should see if they're on Amazon or something and buy in bulk before they're gone.
Yep. Before they disappear.
Yeah. The thing is, I was told this as I was cooking my last box. And so I was like, there's so much regret. I'm like, oh, I would have had the last box of chow mein noodles in Indiana.
Dang.
Yeah. So yeah, it's been a rough week.
After hearing that,
it sounds like it for you, food wise.
Right, sorry that we've just been going along like everything's normal and that we hit us with that news.
Dang. That's a heartbreaker.
Eddie Zen, okay, you know where they go. It gets better, man. It'll be okay. Next week.
It'll be okay.
Because you'll be at LAN. It'll be fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't wait. I'm gonna hit so many local places for food. Yeah. I can't wait. I'm excited.
That'll be good. Cool. All right. So let's go into what we've been playing. We'll stick with you, Katie. What games have you
been messing with? Quick. Yeah, I've been just continuing. I haven't really started anything new. I'm continuing Danganronpa 2, which... it's hitting a point in the game where the writing is kind of taking a hit and everything is starting to seem kind of lazy because it goes kind of like trial by trial, like murder case by murder case. And the murder case I'm on right now is pretty dumb. Like it got to the point without really spoiling too much where any person involved, there was no way anybody was going to kill anybody. And so like the mastermind was like, I've infected you with a disease that changes your personalities. And then a murder happens. And then, like, the instant the murder happens, everyone's back to normal. And he's like, oh, I got bored of that. The disease is over. And it's just like, what the fuck? It just felt kind of lazy. But I'm in the middle of the, like, investigation. So hopefully they can, you know, make sense of it. But it's still been pretty fun. Other than that, I've been continuing Yeast Origin, which... After grinding in that game for a bit, that game is fucking busted on normal difficulty. Like, it's really not as hard as other games, but there are multiple storylines to play in that game, so I'll probably have to step up the difficulty for another one. But, it's still been fun. Played a little bit of PUBG with, Hardballer and Mike for a little bit.
Any wins? And then, the boys?
Unfortunately, no.
No,
but some good times.
Nice.
But, I didn't play any CSGO, but I watched some CSGO. We can segue into you. That's all I
said. Sure, we can segue. Yeah, I mean, Well, you know, we did watch some CSGO. We had sub games on Saturday and had one of, I don't know, just definitely a watershed moment for sub games. I don't know if we'll ever have another sub game quite like what happened in that one. Some of you will know, I guess, if you watch my channel, but Sony Guy, who's a face at admin and Counter-Strike Global Offensive connoisseur, got placed on a team with Hunter in the sub game, and we just ended up going into comms, and it ended up being a real barn burner of a game. And I only bring it up just because, Katie, you know, you're somebody who has felt the wrath of Hunter's gameplay style, maybe, is the way that I would say it.
I felt his wrath. I've been trolled.
Been trolled a bit, and so Hunter went full mode on Sony Guy, and it resulted in quite a interesting CSGO game. So that was a lot of fun. But yeah, other than that, what have I been playing? I've been playing a decent amount of Counter-Strike, playing this game called Ball 3D, which is
it's basically become a meme. I'm sort of worried that you keep coming back to this.
People constantly want to, so I don't know if people actually enjoy the game or if it's just like they just enjoy getting me to load it, or like someone to load up a server and me join with 32 other Roomba looking characters.
Yeah.
But yeah, we talked about it before, but it's a free to play Rocket League-esque, like super shitty I guess clone, but it has different game modes than Rocket League. And yeah, we played a decent amount of that this week.
I don't know what it is. Just that game is it's got to be people just wanting the satisfaction of you opening that, because like on top of being just a really boring game, it's also so boring to watch.
It is. Yeah, there's nothing really fun. It's just, I guess it's more that everybody gets into like a voice channel and then we're playing, and yeah. I mean, some people have gotten pretty good at it, to be fair. Some people have like 4, 5, 6 hours in the game. Some people have bought cosmetics as well. No joke. It's like, I think it's like a meme game that's starting to transcend into, again, like I've opened it on my
friends and watch bad movies.
Kind of. That's actually a good example. I think Ball 3D is like that bad movie that everyone's just, it's in favor right now and people like watching. And instead of throwing forks at the screening, they're throwing their money at actual cosmetic items in a terrible game. But, and I also, the other game, the big one that I've been playing, is Battlefield 1. I actually went back to Battlefield 1, and I've been, you know, I kind of fell out of love with that after the DLC maps and Operation game modes basically died in that game on PC, which is sad because I love that game mode. But we were playing and we got an Operation game here and there, but for the most part, it was just sitting and waiting for servers to fill up. And then one night we were trying to play and there was not a single server for Operations on PC populated at all.
That sucks.
Which I think is kind of great, which sucks. But someone was like, listen, just play Conquest, which is the vanilla, obviously, you know, the Battlefield game mode has been around forever, the original. It's not that bad. And you know what? I really have turned the corner and I'm enjoying Conquest, and it might be just the fact that it's populated, which is a plus, but no, I actually, we had some really good games, and there's a Twitch clip actually, Katie, that when you do the post, I'll link to you, hopefully you can put it in, but I had the closest Conquest or Battlefield game ever, during this.
Yes, week. I saw that.
Did you see that? So it was, yes. Brandon, we were down like 300 or 350 points. And they were destroying us. And then all of a sudden we started getting a 5-cap flag scenario, and it came down to, it was like, I was like, we're not sure if we're going to be able to win this. It came down to 999 to 999. And in the last second, we ticked over to 1,000 and the game ended with a crazy come from behind win. It was actually really, really cool.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I've been enjoying Conquest again, and Battlefield 1, like I've got 185 or 90 hours in the game. So I've put a decent amount of time in. It's still fun. I haven't really played too much of the DLC maps, but in Conquest, they're definitely not as imbalanced as like the Operations. And I think that's the other thing I'm enjoying, is that I guess I'm able to play more of the maps because, you know, in Operations, the game's tuned and geared a little bit differently because of the attack and defense, you know, nature of the game. Whereas in Operations, it's just like, you know, it's open and, you know, you might not like the layout of the map, but you're not dealing with that, different round based gameplay. So. Yeah, Battlefield 1, still pretty enjoyable.
I want to say a little piece on that. Like, Battlefield 1, I feel like, I played a little bit with you also, And it's just, I feel like the replayability for it isn't like as there as much as other Battlefields for me, because like, I mean, it's World War One. It's mainly just like weapon variety is really small. I mean, I get it because, you know, there are only so many guns invented back then, but it's like, I find myself, I can't really play with a gun I'm comfortable with, because like, maybe I've been spoiled by, you know, 30 round clip assault rifle with no recoil or something. But like,
I mean, it's Hell Regal? Do you have a Hell Regal on?
No, I don't. That's the one you have to be ranked 10 to get, right?
Yes, and that is a so laser badly. Beam with 60 rounds. So it exists. You just have to grind.
For sure. Yeah, the one with the one optical gun, the automatic, not the one, not the top loader. That gun's crazy. Still, but yeah, I feel like I can't really find a gun I'm happy with in that game. Like most of the time, there's just not something really long range. But I mean, well, there's like the medic and there are other guns, but it's just. I think I made my point.
No, I got you. No, I understand. I don't know. Like, I really enjoy BF1. I think a lot of my, like, I haven't played any BF1 game since Battlefield Bad Company 2. I said this before, like, when I was playing this constantly. And so, again, I think part of my enjoyment out of BF1 was that it was, like, it's so different from Bad Company 2.
Yeah.
And so, like, my jump from, because I didn't play Battlefield 3 that much. I didn't play Battlefield 4 that much, or really at all. So it's like it's just a whole new, and I understand for some people it's like, yes, it's a different, you know, time period or whatever else, but it's not different enough, or it doesn't offer enough for them to stay. So whatever, I get it. I really have fun playing the game though. So especially because it allows you to have a 16 man party. So if you're playing on stream, you can get tons of people in there.
Yeah,
which is what makes it enjoyable. But anyway, so
I think that's probably why you enjoy it. I think if you were playing solo, I'm not sure that you would enjoy it.
Yeah, there's no way I could solo queue in Battlefield.
I agree with that. I definitely.
And one thing too, I had the startling realization that someone out there, if any aspiring modders are listening, I would play the shit out of a battle royale mod for Battlefield 1. I think that
you
would
said
be
that when on a stream, and I was thinking about that, and I was like, that would be on this engine.
I'll bet you money right now that the next Battlefield game 100% has a battle royale mode in it,
dude.
I would love for them to hop on that.
I mean, just think how smooth that, when that engine, how tuned it is right now, man, it would be incredible. I really would.
Sniping, just, oh my God.
I think you're right, Brandon. They can't be looking at the Battle Royale money opportunity.
It seems so obvious for that engine.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Because they've already got it running with, you know, 64 plus players.
Exactly. Oh my God, I'm...
Right?
I'm so wet. I'm excited. You're right. They gotta be working on it.
Yeah, oh my God. Woo. I would love that shit.
If not making a new game itself, but it seems like it would fall. IP. Yeah, it seems like it could fall easily into the Battlefield IP.
Yep.
Definitely.
Okay. Alright. Well, anyway, now I just want that, even though I joined Battleground. What about you, Brandon? What have you been playing this week?
The new thing I tried this week, I hopped into our Discord server and I was looking for something to play, and Nick Fenton is there randomly with some other folks in Discord, and they say that they're going to play golf with friends. I was like, I know what that game is. I was like, I don't think I own that. Oh wait, actually, I do own that. I'd never
spotted
played
it at some point.
Yeah, so I think it was in a Humble Bundle or something. So I quickly downloaded that, and we played a bit of golf with your friends, and that was super fun. It's like a great game to. It's obviously early access. It's like it's not super polished, but it's just like mini golf with, you know, a bunch of ridiculous courses and stuff. So we played a game of that, or a few games of that, with like five or six people, and that was really fun. But other than that, I've just been playing PUBG. Been playing the first person servers, and I gotta say, I'm really still enjoying PUBG a ton. Like, the first person servers have been a breath of fresh air. Now that I've gotten a chance to really sit down and play several games of it, it's still got like some smoothness and stuff to work out. It still doesn't feel quite as smooth and, you know, as nice to play as third person does from just like a smoothness perspective. But the gameplay itself is just so much better. Like, I can point to multiple games I played this weekend. We won like three games over the course of the weekend. And one of them I actually clutched at the end and I was really happy with. But I never, in third person, I would have lost that game probably 9 out of 10 times because the other person, the last guy left, was behind a tree, and he had a Car 98, so he was going to snipe me. But because it was first person, he couldn't wait for me and kind of dial in his shot, right? He couldn't wait for me to be running and then pop out and shoot me. So I was able to basically just lay suppressing fire on him, and I ended up killing him behind a tree, and I was way out in the open. That never would have happened in third person.
Yeah.
So I've just been, when I think back, like after we've won a couple games, and I think back to the times where we would have lost that game because of the way third person works, I think that most people are just going to play first person from now on. It's just so much more entertaining.
Yeah. No, I definitely was kind of skeptical on the whole first person thing, just because before, like, they didn't have the FOV changes and stuff like that. But now that that's somewhat implemented and you have a better field of view and all that, and from the bit I've played, I totally understand the balance and, like, you know, the third person gives you such an advantage depending on the situation, you know, what cover you're behind and whatever else, and putting everybody on an even playing field, especially like somebody that has played and like we like competitive shooters. Yeah, I definitely. And then even watching people that have had like even Shroud right now, who's just been playing, you know, he's a monster at the game and obviously a former Counter-Strike professional, or still, I guess he hasn't announced his retirement or anything, but it's cool to see like those kind of people really excelling.
Yeah, and I feel like I've been able to be much better in games because obviously I'm used to playing first person shooters, and so my aim is typically pretty good. Like, I can win firefights, but a lot of them I would lose because some other person would get the jump on you. And with first person, I feel like you have a little more freedom to, you know, to loot and to, you don't have to always be concerned that someone is watching you who you can't see. And so that it just changes the dynamic of the game, and I think has been a lot more fun. So that's kind of re-energized. I mean, the game is still super fun with third person, but like when they released first person, I didn't realize that it was going to be like just basically pulling me in all over again, and it kind of has. So, just PUBG still. I mean, if you don't own PUBG at this point, I don't know what to tell you.
Yep.
You're living life wrong.
And we're saying that about a game that is, yes, it is an early access, but...
I mean, it's been a while since I've gotten that much value out of $30. So
yep. I'd be curious how many hours you have, Brandon. Actually, check.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I had to close Steam for the cast, but I'll check later. I'm sure it's over 100 easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm at 53 right now.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. All right. So
I think about 40 of that was spent looting.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Right.
All right. Well, real quick before we jump into some news here, I do want to point to some of the stuff that's going on the website. We've got a Fortnite first look video from Tim on the website. Good video. Check that out if you're interested in Fortnite and thinking about picking it up. We've got a policy article about diversity in tech from Capstar, and I think it talks somewhat about the Google memo, but some other stuff. You can check that out. We've got a Fictorum review video from Fake Ghost Pirate. So some good content up there. Check it out. Of course, we've also got the forums. We've got multi-stream. So kbmod.com for all your needs in regards to specific things.
The first look video from Tim was really helpful because I think I mentioned when Fortnite was coming out, and we mentioned it in the new releases, that I wasn't sure what it looked like now because I had played like a really old version of it, and that was a couple years ago. So Tim's video has like some gameplay. He shows us like some of the menus and gives some good, I think, good first impressions. It looks like a really polished game, but there's like some of it's a little bit busy. Take a look at that video and that Fictorum review by Fake Ghost Pirate. Really good. I wasn't even aware of this game, but he breaks it down really well, and some cool, you know, just like some good gameplay footage and stuff from that too.
Nice.
That's a good video.
Yeah, both and really Capstar, good videos.
Yeah, and Capstar really does really well written articles. Like, he did that one for Overwatch about like when porn was going on for that, and it was just really good, like really great writing.
Yep. Yeah, he's a good writer. So check out all
three
of that
on
content
the site this week. Just high quality content.
You know what? We're not, you know, I won't name any names, but we're not spammy like some other websites, but you will get quality. Okay.
Guess what? We had zero articles on the site this week about PUBG. I'll
just... Exactly. That should tell you.
That's less than any other website out there.
Because honestly, if we won clicks, we could have, there's ways to get clicks. We know what Google wants. All right.
If we wanted to scale, man, I'd be posting, we'd be posting, check out this sick Shroud clip.
That's right. Exactly. And an entire article on it.
And it would be a bit.ly link into like an Amazon affiliate link into right. a Twitch clip link.
God damn it. Exactly.
But we're not out there for the money. We're looking out for you. We're just trying to put out some good content. So go to the website and check it out.
KBMod cares about you. Okay. all right. Let's jump into some news. The first thing we're going to talk about is, so obviously International was going on this week. And Valve announced to a somewhat disappointed crowd that they will be making a Dota card game that's going to release in 2018. And I think the disappointment not so much was the fact that it was a card game, but they thought that it was probably going to be like, I don't know, another hero in Dota. I don't know what exactly people thought it was going to be. But there's a pretty funny video.
That crowd in particular, like that crowd is the hardest of hardcore Dota fans.
Exactly.
So my guess is that generally, people may be excited about this, but if you're not talking about Dota, the specific game, like Dota 2, I feel like you wouldn't get a great reception with that crowd. Because they're not necessarily, they're not looking to play a card game, or at least they don't think they are. They're looking to play Dota.
Yeah. So, it's pretty vague. There was a 35-second teaser.
Pretty vague? That is generous. This trailer...
It showed us nothing except the logo.
This trailer is literally nothing. It's 35 seconds of nothing.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right.
I would have taken like some concept art or like a rendered trailer or something. But no, this is like actually nothing.
Now, I do want to point out, I didn't realize this, but the Artifact teaser on Play Artifact, which is the official YouTube channel, has 763,000 views. It has 3,707 likes and 31,920 dislikes.
Oh, wow.
And so I have to ask, is this the most disliked thing that Valve has ever announced? I feel like Valve, even if stuff can be like divisive, I don't really generally see announcements from Valve getting that kind of hate.
When it comes to an announcement of this level, I don't think we've ever seen that sort of reaction.
No. I'd like Valve, is Valve possibly jumping the shark with the community in some ways? I mean, not that they haven't I just wanted to use jump the shark. But I mean, again, man, you had the Team Fortress 2 decision, right? Not to really there's been a lot of things that Valve has done over the last maybe 5 to 6 years.
Well, I think this feels like one of the first games where Valve is following someone else's lead. Kind of like,
that's true.
I feel like Valve has almost accidentally done so many sort of first time innovative things.
Yeah.
Like you look at Team Fortress 2, that game paved the way for a lot of other games with
Overwatch.
Like economy, the free to play stuff, obviously Overwatch basically taking a ton of inspiration from Team Fortress 2, Counter-Strike. I mean, we don't even need to that's a seminal game in PC gaming history. And then, Dota, I feel like they've done so many unique things. Like even Left 4 Dead, Left 4 Dead was a pretty unique game. No one else was really doing that. Artifact, again, because they haven't really released any details, this very much feels like a sort of Me Too type game. Like they have to have this game because obviously Blizzard has Hearthstone. That's the 800-pound gorilla. But then Bethesda has their Elder Scrolls game. There's the Gwent game. There's card games are sort of they're in vogue right now. And so I'm a little bit surprised that Valve would just release a trailer with nothing to tell people why this game is unique and why Valve thinks it's awesome and important.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
That seems like an oversight.
Yeah.
Cause one of the things that apparently it's going to have laning. Which I don't know what that means in a card game.
Yeah.
But it sounds
like what I'm imagining, is it going to be like the traditional, I don't know how they're going to do it, but like, are we going to see, the Dota, you know, playing field? And then, you know, as you play the cards, obviously the match like plays out in front of you, which again would seem, we just don't know, I guess, at this point.
Yeah. I don't like laning in the context of a card game. I don't actually know what that even means.
Yeah. That's weird. Maybe like I'm thinking, just Hearthstone, but you have like certain, like you can only counter certain cards, like depending on where they're placed. I don't know.
The quote is like from day nine. So day nine played it. And literally the quote is like the only little piece of information we have.
Right.
He says, I kept building barracks in the third lane and I kept flooding the lane with creeps. But so like,
right.
I don't know what that means. Like what creeps don't generally have, like, our card games don't have these idea of like creeps and waves typically. So,
yeah.
You know, I think Artifact, like, here's the thing. I think Valve can make anything work because they have the power of the Steam economy. Like, Hearthstone would be a really different game if there was an economy around the cards. Like, if the cards had monetary value and you could trade certain cards and get other cards for them.
So, like, I think
Artifact, I feel like Artifact would have to do that, right? They would make it be a game where the cards have value and can be tradable and all that. And a tradable card game is quite a bit different from a collectible card game like Hearthstone is. So, we just don't know anything about it yet. But I think the fan reaction, I think, has shown them that, like, you got to tell us more about this. Because just announcing it just basically sounds like you want to take some of Hearthstone's market. Like, that's the way it comes off.
No, you're right. The way that the announcement was done is pretty poor. But also, this is maybe me. It's like, again, this Valve, maybe they're not fully aware of their placing anymore. Like, there was a time that there would have been a time where Valve could do no wrong to the level of they could just drop this and people would have lost their minds.
That's
right?
True.
We're not in that era anymore. Because there is so much other competition and stuff like that. So if they're going to announce a card game, it's like Skyrim's getting a fucking card game. Like it's a crowded market already. So to not really show anything and then just be like, yeah, this is fucking sick. I mean, I understand people disliking the teaser because it's like, you're going to pump up this announcement and then, like you said, not really communicate.
Yeah. But the thing you have to assume that Valve is gonna have some, like, has some crazy ideas up their sleeve with this game, because otherwise I don't think they would put out a game at all. Like,
right.
I don't know how Valve works internally, but we know that they're kind of a unique company in the way that they operate.
Yeah.
I think the threshold for a new game from Valve is so high because you have to think, can I make more money, or like, can I, you know, introduce more economic activity with a new game instead of just building on the Steam platform? Like, if they're going to build a new game, I think they have to assume that this game has a ceiling in the hundreds of millions of dollars type range, the same way that Counter-Strike and Dota do. So the only way that's going to happen is if they've got some really unique ideas when it comes to a card game. Because otherwise, I don't think you look at this game and assume it's going to be successful. We only assume it's going to be successful because Valve is doing it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But like, I don't think the Dota players, like, do Dota players really care about like the lore?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe some do, probably, but no, you're right. No, it's a good question, but you're right. That also though makes me go, because regardless of what people didn't like the announcement and the way it was done and what they showed or their lack of, and then feeling like it's just a cash grab. You know, Valve does, like you said, they are a trendsetter when it comes to whether genre or combining genres of games and making good games. So you have to give them the benefit of the doubt to the extent that they haven't really ever released a stinker, right?
At Valve. Yeah, that's true.
They've never released something that was just hot garbage. And so like when going back to the laning stuff that you were talking about, this is stuff that we're like, this doesn't really make sense in the context of card games. So maybe what if they come out with the next iteration of what the card game copiers are going to do? I mean, it's possible.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they're going to come up with something that's going to be so addictive and so, like, just the spin on the traditional kind of, like, Hearthstone or whatever else, or Magic card game, that it becomes the new norm. Like, it is possible because it is still Valve.
I also, a lot of it just feels like they maybe just missed the mark with this initial tease, because if I think this official image where it says Artifact and then it says the Dota card game, Like, why even put the Dota card game? That makes it sound really uninspired. Like, I'm sure that they have some really interesting ideas here. I think if they had just said, like, Artifact and said it was, like, based on Dota 2 or something that was just like, this is a new spin, but it's not the Dota card game. Because that's basically, like, you're ruining all your marketing. The Dota card game is just, that sounds like a cash grab. But I'm sure it's not, right? Because Valve, I don't think Valve is really in the business of, like, short-term cash grabs. So, yeah, it's just very weird to me.
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, they like cash grabs, but generally it's like you said, not with IPs, though, for sure. Like, if they're going to make an IP, it's going to
it's
be
all
something.
It's all long-term plays for Valve. So, like, this has to play into the larger ecosystem somehow. And this really vague marketing, I don't think, does them any favors to get people on their side.
Agreed. Yeah, so we'll keep an eye on this. It'll be interesting to see when we see some gameplay. And I mean, it says it's going to release in 2018, so I'm assuming they're going to start showing us a little bit of beyond the teaser. So the other thing, obviously, with the international, Team Liquid pulled off a 3-0 sweep to win the grand finals. I didn't really get to watch too much of it, and I'm not a Dota fan, so a lot of times when I'm watching, I mean, again, I play League of Legends, but Dota's just
a whole nother spectacle.
You watch for the spectacle, exactly, and I can appreciate it. And yeah, they came from the lower bracket, and it was the first time basically a team has completely swept a Valve event final, which was that 3-0, which is pretty interesting. And they had a really hard road to do it as well. So congrats to them. Did you guys get a chance to watch any of the matches? I was like away. Or I was not at my computer during the time a lot of those matches were happening. Or if I was, I think I was just seeing on Twitter people were freaking out because a lot of people follow.
I was seeing the Twitter response, but I didn't get to watch it. Kind of same as you. I'm not a massive Dota fan. But I try and tune in, you know, here and there. But instead I just watched clips and caught it on Twitter. But I mean, I'm glad to see Team Liquid win. I think it's a neat storyline, and obviously, I think as someone who like doesn't really follow like the scene at all, it's just cool to see a team like Liquid win against a Chinese team that I have like no real, you know, I don't really care about that much.
Right. But assume that they're very good, just judging
the
story.
Like the Chinese, I think there was like a chance that it was going to be a Chinese versus Chinese final, which, you know, I think for the Western audience probably would have been a little lackluster. Yep. I'm glad to see Team Liquid win it, and winning it 3-0. I mean, that's pretty awesome coming back from losers and winning 3-0 at the end.
Definitely. So moving on from a MOBA that is very deep, okay? So, yeah, I would say, like, Dota.
I should have thought about the segue. We had some real options here.
We did. It's a very speaking of things, the grand prize. Yeah, or grand prize. Speaking of things that are very deep, or how deep? Oh God, yeah. There's a lot
speaking
of ways.
Speaking of things you do with a trophy.
Yes. Oh my God. we're gonna read this. There's a League of Legends player in Korea who has been sidelined for his own quote. He said sensual pleasures. I think he has a 6-week benching. He was benched in week 6 of LPL, and on his Twitter, or his official quote was, the reason for his benching was that he was basically just getting mad pussy. or that's what we're led to assume from the way that he wrote his response. He said, and I'm going to read this. So this is Vasily. Who is on, what's the squad that he's on? Team Newbies. I believe, isn't he their AD carry? I think he's their AD carry. I'm not 100% sure. I don't really follow League as much anymore. Either way, the reason we're talking about this is not because of his position or the fact that he's playing League of Legends, really. It's really the fact that he said, because I caught a cold before, I asked to be subbed out for the sake of the club's results. The club maintained its winning streak, so it wasn't necessary for me to play. And I let myself indulge in sensual pleasures for a while. He then goes on to say, this led to me playing poorly in solo queue, but last week we lost, so I started to adjust myself to a more abstinent lifestyle. After about 2 days, I had already adjusted myself to abstinence. Those of you only watching the news shouldn't be so quick to pass judgment on me. It's incorrect. You can check on my results in Korean solo queue rather than take my word for it. I will continue to play and try to correct this matter. So lots of stuff.
Look at him.
I mean,
can you blame him?
I mean, hey,
you see that hair?
That dude's getting mad poon. I mean, it's more mad, whatever he prefers. But it's just interesting that, I guess for him, I mean, and again, sensual pleasures, maybe we need like the Korean translation. Is that just basically the soft, yeah, I mean,
that,
again,
is
in
that
English,
like a euphemism culturally, like to
right.
Right.
Just,
yeah.
To read between the lines.
Like, we need that clarification.
That
it's not
anything
just
more,
off.
Yeah, more specific, excuse me. Yeah. Like you said, is it just jacking off? Is it anything? Yeah. I mean, sensual pleasures, you know, there's lots of
ways. I mean,
if
he means like sensual pleasures on his own, then I could understand right. That affecting his play style.
Yes, absolutely. Like just his wrists and his hands.
Yeah, hand cramps. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a. Yeah. You got to really watch out there. But if he's got some assistance, I would say right. generally that, you know, that helps a player in a professional setting calm down. But maybe it has the opposite
effect.
That's
what I thought,
too. I don't
know. Yeah, I mean, he seems to be implying that whatever sensual pleasures he was having were causing him to play poor in solo queue and then eventually lose
Which makes me wonder, like, what is this guy into? Either he was alone, or there's, like, some wild stuff going down.
Yeah, because in general, I would say, like, just from the stuff I've seen from athletes talking about it, especially, like really high-level professional athletes, you know, sex and whatever else is a pretty big stress relief for them for a lot. I mean, maybe it depends on the person. But I definitely can help clear the mind and assist with performance. Relieve tension, exactly. So maybe, like you said, he's just into some real devious stuff that actually physically affects his body, maybe? Maybe it's not his mind. Maybe he likes, you know, maybe likes getting beaten up, tied up, like maybe he's into S&M. Like, I mean, we're extrapolating. I'm not accusing of anything, but sensual pleasures is just so vague. So, I mean, what else are we going to do?
It's pretty vague. I think I want to say, actually, I think that the reporters here might have jumped the gun with assuming what this means. Because all I see is his quote here. And that quote, right. Sensual pleasures, that right. leaves a lot to the imagination.
Absolutely. Katie, any thought? Have you ever... So, I mean, you're somebody who masturbates chronically. Has that ever affected your performance? Do you feel like, here's a question. Do you feel like you're after you jacked off, do you feel like you're better at games or do you feel like you're worse?
Oh, absolutely. And like, it's definitely, if I had, you know, what am I trying to say? If given the opportunity, right. I would do it before every single game I ever played, because once you finish, your mind is just free.
You're
of
clear.
All other temptations. Yes. And little distractions, like, you know, what is she thinking about right now? Should I be, you know, advancing my sexual conquests? No. Mm. But see, those things just simply don't matter. And, right. But yeah, so I definitely get if anything, I would be sympathizing with him in that he might, we should be, you know, encouraging this. More sensual pleasures, he was saying it was like reflected in his solo queue. So maybe, you know, get that, indulge in that before any game, and there you go.
I don't know if I buy his, like, again, maybe, and also maybe this is just a cover up for something else, because again, my experience is the same way. I feel like I'm definitely more clear of mind and better play games better when I've cleared the pipe, so to speak. So
yes, absolutely.
Like his assumption, like he's leading us to believe that because he was indulging in sensual pleasures, he was playing poorly. So this leads me to believe that it probably wasn't just sex or masturbation, that it's something different than that. You know what I mean? Because I think our experience, we're saying that doesn't seem to ring true, though we aren't at a, you know, a high-level League of Legends player, but still. All the evidence suggests
maybe there's a chance here that he actually... So it's like when you know, when something doesn't go your way, or like when you get caught out or you're doing badly, you say something kind of ridiculous.
Needing an excuse.
He's pulling a Donald Trump here. He's basically the sensual pleasures thing. He's thrown the story off of his actual play and onto his personal life, which people know is taboo to ask about. So they just infer things. But
so
now
true. You've
forgotten that he's actually like playing poorly because now he has this like completely legit excuse that you can't ask about.
He's gaslighting the fuck out of us, and we didn't even see it till now. You're right, Brandon. I totally forgot about the fact that he's sucking massive cock in League of Legends right now, and he's a professional player. And we're not talking about
that.
We're not talking at all about
his poor play right now. We are simply talking about the justification for it.
I think you might be right.
He's a master of misdirection.
Wow. He is the Trump of League of Legends in Korea. Very specific, but at least as far as his PR stance.
Because see, his back's against the wall. The last part of the statement here, saying you shouldn't be so quick to pass judgment on me. Like, he's basically trying to turn it around. He's saying, look, I'm trying to get used to this abstinent lifestyle. Go check my results.
Yeah.
If you think I'm lying.
I might end up going with that. So that's a good reminder. We need to be careful not to get thrown off what the real story is sometimes. Because I enjoyed talking about sensual pleasures, but that's not really what the main source of what, like, why he's in the news. It's mainly because he's not playing well. So, okay. Well, there you go. Let's jump into some quick hits. Brandon, AMD's 16-core Threadripper. I mean, what a name, by the way.
Threadripper.
Threadripper, definitely a great name.
Has gotten a review, and it's pretty freaking impressive from the look of it.
Yeah. So this is basically, I don't think this will really matter to most gamers, at least not right now. But the 1950X is like the AMD flagship Ryzen Threadripper CPU. So 16 cores, 32 threads. It goes for about $1,000. And I think the cool thing here that, you know, you can go read benchmarks and stuff if you're interested. It's a beast of a CPU. I think the neat thing is that it's outbenching a lot of the higher level Intel CPUs, which cost more than $1,000. First of all, I should probably back up and say that basically this CPU, along with the high-end Intel CPUs, no one should really care about these for gaming, because they're just not like game. They're not going to be put to their full potential with gaming. CPUs like this really are for work. They're for like hardcore multitasking. They're for rendering, video editing, photo editing. You should know if you have a workload that would benefit from one of these CPUs, but it is fun to look at the highest end stuff and see how they perform. So for $1,000, I think this chip actually seems to be pretty solid. The multi-threaded performance is really, really good. And the biggest thing is that I think it actually does put some legit pressure on Intel, because their core i9 CPUs are, some of them are more expensive than $1,000, and the Threadripper makes them look like a really poor value. And I think that's great for people that want, you know, CPUs to continue getting better and coming down in price. I think AMD actually has like some really good ammunition here in this fight. So, I don't think anyone's going to buy, like, any gaming PC is going to have a $1,000 CPU unless you just have more money than you care about. But it is awesome to see AMD actually kind of going toe-to-toe with Intel for that high-end market, because that should trickle down to better mid-tier CPUs that will actually care about for gaming. And AMD is going to hopefully make it harder for Intel to charge that premium price. And basically, Intel looks a little bit greedy here, hand in the cookie jar a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see if Intel comes back and lowers their prices a bit to compete. It would be great if we could see kind of another Intel versus AMD war like we did in the earlier 2000s, back when AMD was like legitimately, you know, back when pretty much all gamers had AMDs in their PC, mm-hmm. because AMDs overclocked really well. Like AMD used to be all over the place, but Intel has dominated for so long that it's just a breath of fresh air to see AMD finally have something that competes.
All right. Yeah, it's cool. And definitely the angle, like you said, we've been talking about AMD kind of getting shit on by Intel for multiple years. So it's nice. It's nice. I don't know. Can we say that it's strong enough that this is a win for AMD? Is that a little too strong?
It's definitely a win for them, because the Threadripper stuff, like the Threadripper CPUs, I mean, a 16-core CPU, that's for a long time, Intel has beaten them on like the cores and the and single core performance. Whereas now I think AMD is like Threadripper is a legit competitor to their top end CPUs in a way that they really, I mean, they haven't had for a very, very long time. So so it's nice. I mean, it's $1,000, so again, like that's not gonna it's not gonna change anyone's life overnight because no one I don't think anyone's gonna go out and buy a $1,000 CPU unless you are a hardcore tech nerd. But this should find its way to lower prices eventually, like in the next couple years, when that that technology, you know, gets bundled into their mid tier stuff. And my hope is that maybe in the next generation or two, we see AMD and Intel CPUs like on the mid level. Sort of having to figure out like which one actually makes the most sense. Cause I think right now Intel CPUs are still a good, like a really good value for gamers. Like the 7700K, which we have, as a prize for Extra Life. That's like, that's still pretty much the CPU I'd recommend to anyone who's building a new PC right now. And I want in the next generation or two, I would love to have to basically say, look, here are kind of the different options from Intel and AMD. And deciding which one's for you is a little more complicated than it is now.
All right. Yeah. Well, we will keep an eye on that, see if Intel maybe responds, I don't know, price-wise, too. Maybe they'll drop some of their prices.
I think they'll have to. I think they'll have to drop some of the prices on their top-tier stuff because it's just it's completely out of line with reality with that new Threadripper chip.
All right. Moving on from that, we're going to talk a little bit about Lawbreakers, which obviously released this last week.
Did you say Lawbreakers?
Did I say Lawbreakers?
Lawbreakers.
I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even mean to do that intentionally, but I was like,
wow, that's a little harsh.
Yeah, that is. That's not actually played it, and I enjoy the game, but I've enjoyed what I played. Lawbreakers, excuse me, let me speak more clearly. right now, it's, I don't know, I'm a little bit concerned because, and so are other people, and so they've been asking Cliffy B., you know, are you concerned about the relatively slow start? So at the time of this article, there were 1,500 people playing the game.
Yeah, they're about that many right now. Their 24-hour peak is a little under 2,000.
Yeah, and so a couple different factors for this. I'm going to read you the quote from Cliffy B, and you tell me if this is I mean, obviously, you're going to PR spin it. Your game just came out. You're not going to be doom and gloom. But Cliffy B is usually a pretty honest guy and, you know, maybe to a fault. Like, you know, he sometimes runs people the wrong way. But he said this in regards to the slow start. He said, it's a marathon, not a sprint. I'd rather be the underhyped game that slowly ramps up into something that people adore than something that comes out with too much hype and that there's backlash for, which is why I think the Steam reviews are so positive. Because it does bear to mention it's very well received by the people that enjoy it, has very positive Steam reviews. He goes on to say, we're going to continue to raise awareness, continue to support the product. And then he compares himself, well, he says, if you look at the phenomenon that was League of Legends, it built off a Warcraft 3 mod that slowly but surely blossomed into this immense, amazing thing. And I'd rather be the game that comes up and has that hockey stick ramp with a slow burn and builds up rather than a AAA hype machine where you have a bazillion people playing it month one and it goes down exponentially. Then they follow up with the annual product. So I got a couple issues with that quote. First of all, League of Legends was a free to play game, right? And, I'm not saying he's directly comparing Overwatch or I'm sorry, Overwatch. Oh, that was a mistake. Lawbreakers. To it feels like I'm roasting them, and I swear to God, I'm not trying to. I'm just, I'm misspeaking. Comparing Lawbreakers, to League of Legends, but, you know, Lawbreakers is a $30 title. And while I think it's a pretty fair price for a game that's pretty polished and, offers a lot of things, I think a lot of people are quick to dismiss it as like an Overwatch clone or a similar game. And it definitely has elements of it, but it's a lot different than Overwatch. And I think I don't want to say the skill ceiling is like insanely higher, but it is a lot different. But you know, it's not a free to play. And that's the other thing that we have to talk about is that initially this game was announced, as a free to play game that then ended up becoming a $30 game. And I think ultimately from what I'm seeing here and the fact that this is a $30 game, I think they should have stayed with the free to play model and just gone with the cosmetics and maybe hero unlocks or whatever else. I don't know about you, Brandon, but I don't see this game having the same kind of, slow burn as like a League of Legends or whatever else, just because the market is already saturated. I mean, Overwatch is such a juggernaut. And obviously that's the game that this is going to be compared to. But also this space has other games, like even stuff, what's the other one? the other, I mean, not Team Fortress 2.
I mean, like, there's Dirty Bomb. Dirty Bomb.
Dirty Bomb was the other one I was going to say, which, again, I don't know what the player base of Dirty Bomb is, but it's considered a pretty decent game at this point.
Yeah.
And it's free to play, right? Dirty Bomb's free to play.
Yeah, Dirty Bomb's free to play.
So you're dealing, you're in a pretty competitive space, and to have only 1,500, 2,000 people playing this off of launch with a game that, you know, they've sunk a lot of time into, I mean, I would obviously be concerned.
I think it's, it is tough because I think you kind of set some expectations when you talk about it being free to play and then you change to this $30 model, which, again, I think we've talked about that before, where Cliff Bleszinski has been, I think, pretty straightforward that, like, look, $30, it is what it is. Like, you get the game. And right. I think there's people that want that and respect that. I mean, I respect that, like, I like a game where I can just pay for it and be done. But also, I think you're kind of right that a first-person shooter in this day and age is going to sort of live and die by its player base.
And, exactly.
You know, when your player base starts off and you've only got a couple thousand people playing at once, when you did have a lot of hype, you know, they've been at PAXs, they've had some marketing thrown behind that game, and you know, I just don't know. I don't know how you really grow and have that slow burn these days, because I feel like the burn is typically the other way. You've got to start, like, there are some games that just, like, like PUBG, for instance, you know, it starts off and then, like, it starts off strong and then just gets even stronger. Like, it burns even stronger later on. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we see that many games where they start off really, you know, really slow, but then they burn and, like, their player base grows and grows and grows. I think, like, the only recent example I can think of is maybe Heroes of the Storm, but that's got Blizzard money behind it. Like, that's got a big dev team, and, like, Blizzard has a lot riding on Heroes of the Storm. So, I don't know. I think I appreciate Cliff's honesty here, I guess, but also this is exactly what I expect him to say. Like, you want to paint a rosy picture when the game comes out.
Everybody.
But, and I think that's just, I think honestly, it's just, this is maybe the challenge in 2017 with releasing a game for $30 that, like, there's a lot of unknowns, right? Like, I can't try the game. I can't hop in, you know, and see what it's like. And Lawbreaker seems good, but I'm also just not less necessarily jumping to pay $30 to give it a try. No. And so I think you might be right that free to play. You know, free to play, it's maybe a little more risky because you have to pump out content that people want to actually pay for. But also, you at least get the better chance to start off with that player base.
That's what I'm just saying. Because, I mean, like you said, your game lives and dies by your player base. And so, like, if I was, and again, obviously this is easier for me to say on the outside, so I don't know what kind of discussions went on. But if they were fighting with this decision of, like, should we make it free to play? Should we charge $30? Because he talks about the idea that when they said that it was going to be free to play, basically people, you know, they expect to get nickel and dimed and whatever else. And so there was a lot of backlash. So then they put a price tag on it. But after seeing the quality of the game, I think people would have said, like, if Lawbreakers came out as a free to play, it is so polished. People would have lauded it. I think it would have been the opposite. And I think he should have weathered that storm. And then I think, especially in areas of the world where free-to-play games really thrive in poor countries, I think they should have marketed super hard there and said, like, hey, this is like a AAA level title free-to-play game. Yes, there's cosmetics that you can buy for lower prices. Like, if I was going to launch a game like this, that would have been my strategy, and stuck with the free-to-play. And then, like you said, sure, you have to come up with cosmetics or whatever else and make people pay stuff. But then that way you balloon your player base early, right? And then that just begets more players when they're going, like, well, everyone's playing this Lawbreakers game. Like, I think you could have framed yourself as, like, the premier free-to-play shooter in this space. I don't know. I just think it's a missed opportunity, and I think it's going to really cost them in the long run. So, well, it's disappointing because I think the game is pretty good.
Yeah, it's a challenge too, because the like, having a $30 price point now, because they started out with free-to-play and then they went $30, I don't think they're going to be able to go back to free-to-play later on when they do want to juice their player base. Without eating a ton of crow and basically, you know, basically 100%. looking really bad to their hardcore players. So that's the risk I see. Like, you see a lot of games that might start out with a price point, but then go free to play later on. here, because of the way that the game was developed and they started out that way, but then they shifted. I think shifting back is like probably suicide, right? For like reputational suicide.
Yeah, I mean, PR-wise, I think people would be pretty upset. Like you can do it. Like if they announce it as $30 and then they went free to play later, that's different. But going free to play first, 30 back to free to play, that's a bridge too far probably for a lot of people.
But I am kind of surprised though that the player base isn't larger. I mean, because I think the reception generally was pretty positive and the game had marketing behind it. So I think it's kind of unfortunate, cause you know, I see no problem with another decent first person shooter in the space. But I don't think that I don't know how long it's going to take you to get to where you really want to be if you're currently sitting at a player base of about 2,000.
Right.
It's not, I mean, what are you going to do to make that number really go up except for like a Steam sale or something, right?
If they go on Steam sale, free to play, like a weekend, right? Maybe free to play weekend. But even then, that doesn't solve the problem in the long run if you don't go free to play.
Here's the thing. Even if you, let's say that you get that 2,000, what if you 5X it and then you have 10,000 playing? That's probably still not really enough to get it on the long-term radar, you know?
Nope. And that's the whole thing about how important the launch is. It's like, I know that they want to recoup their money or whatever else, but it's like, I feel like it's a little bit short-sighted for them to have gotten that backlash and then be like, well, we're dumping the free-to-play model, because I really do think, because I'm just trying to think of like when you think of free-to-play shooters out there, and I don't know if you guys have played much Lawbreakers, but I don't think there's anything. I mean, Dirty Bomb is pretty decent and polished, but as far as how good Lawbreakers looks and like the just feel of the game, it's like it feels like it wouldn't be anything you would expect free to play. So I really do think they would have gotten actual props for that. And I think they would have, like you said, I think they would have, I mean, again, it's hard to know, but I think they would have like 20K. They could have free to play is just, your options are pretty endless depending on where you market and how like people decide to play the game.
I think Cliff's reputation could have helped for the free to play aspect because he kind of comes off as like this no BS guy.
Right.
So exactly. I think as a free to play title, like having him behind you maybe helps because people, you know, people trust that like, all right, this guy wouldn't drop a whole bunch of money, grab stuff in, you know, if you believe him.
Exactly.
And yeah. I think with a $30 title, like, yeah, you can still believe him, but then I could believe you. People could tell me it's a great game, but it still cost me $30 just to try it out. And I think that free to play message, like, would I try Cliff Bleszinski's free to play game? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Would I try the $30 game? Like, probably not unless like four or five of my friends buy it, you know?
Yep. Exactly. Totally agree. So yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. And see if he is right in the long run. I mean, maybe we'll have to eat crow and maybe he's right. Maybe it'll have a slow burn and start to blow up. But I do think you're going to see like a free weekend or some kind of sale pretty quickly to try to bolster those numbers because it's like you said, there's not really too many examples you can point to of a game that starts extremely slow and then just balloons up anymore. It's just not
and even, in and how even the example, stuff. The example he uses, League of Legends, is a free to play game. So like, it's such a different dynamic when you're asking for $30 up front. And I can also, I mean, I understand his concern with the other way of like starting off really strong and then fizzling out, like maybe a game like For Honor. But I think I have to guess that if he could choose, he would have chosen the sales of For Honor and the trajectory downward than low sales and a like mild trajectory upward.
Right. No, I agree with that. All right. All right. We got a few more quick hits here and then we're going to get into the new releases. No Man's Sky.
Speaking of games with a downward trajectory.
Yes. Oh boy. No Man's Sky. We haven't said that.
Katie, I think Katie is muted, but he has some things to say here. He's been having some technical difficulties.
Yeah. It's probably his connection to the call again. Well, hopefully he will be able to, talk soon, but the Atlas Rises update for No Man's Sky has come out, and it promises about 30-plus hours of new content, lots of overhauls, a new story, new worlds to explore, new freighters. There's a mission system. There's even some UI updates and stuff like that. It looks like it's pretty robust, actually, if you're still playing No Man's Sky. Now, I haven't done... I'm going to have to do this. Let's see. Let me check in No Man's Sky how many people are playing the game right now, because I'm really curious here. No Man's Sky. Okay. All right. So in the last 30 days, their average player base was 1,610 people.
All these games that have like 1,500 players. We got Lawbreakers, Dirty Bomb, No Man's Sky.
Look at this.
Just competing.
So up by quite a bit. I'm guessing that I don't know when this released, but this released pretty recently. But that's actually more than I thought was.
Their peak in the last 30 days was 19K. So.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Lots of returning players.
I'm assuming that 19K had to be when this came out.
It had to be when the update dropped. Yeah, KD. So, we can hear you. Why don't you tell us about this update?
Okay.
There we go. You're back.
Dude, I don't know why Twitch just has it out for me right now. I don't know what I've done. No, I honestly didn't really have anything to add. It's just when I joined back in, I actually didn't talk, so I was just trying to see like whether or not I was still muted. But if we're good
That's
now.
Fine. Tell us about this update.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Well, it looks like about 30 hours of story content added. A lot of good shit. You've got a new story content. You've got a new system for like the galaxy thing. I've never played No Man's Sky. I just, you know, looking at this, they've obviously added a lot of content to this, and it just sucks because a lot of people, they see No Man's Sky in, you know, a headline and they're instantly off put by it. And despite, you know, how much work is put into this game still, like we were talking about this a little bit before we went live, but just like, imagine like working tirelessly on this game, a game that everyone is like universally hating. It's just
where it's like where the name No Man's Sky basically like it has become in the vernacular for gamers. You don't want to release a No Man's Sky. You know what I mean? Like No Man's Sky now is synonymous with a disaster. Like that's rough.
Maybe this is the game Cliff was talking about when he was referencing that trajectory.
He could be. I mean, honestly, with this content peak yesterday. 19,000.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, their player base has been like in the single digits average player base each day for the past several months. And they're now 10K playing. So, I mean, that's a little bit of confidence for them, hopefully, that, you know, they still, I think maybe they haven't lost people. If they keep putting out updates like this, they could garner some of that player base back.
Yeah. So, I mean, and to their credit, despite all of the terrible PR and rightly so for a lot of it, they did, I mean, they said that they were not done with the game and that they were going to release and continue to add to it. So is it possible that this gets back to people being like, okay, like there's a decent amount of people playing. Again, I'm sure this will fall off once people finish most of the content that you can do in this, but it's a pretty massive update. So. Looking like they're trying to basically kind of address a lot of the areas of people just being like, there's just not anything to do anymore. Once you get to a certain point, like you can only go to so many randomized planets and do the same shit for so long until your ship's maxed out and everything else. And it's like, so it looks like they're trying to address a lot of those issues, which, you know what?
And props to them. Can you believe No Man's Sky released an entire year ago? That game's a year old now.
Oh my God.
That really was a year ago?
It was a year ago, August 9th.
Time flies, man. It's nuts. Where were you when No Man's Sky dropped from the sky and straight into hell in the first week?
Exactly.
Oh, boy.
What a nightmare.
All right, you can take these next couple because you added them and it looks like weird shit. So go
ahead. Yeah, I just threw in some weird shit last minute. These were just a few game announcements that came out, I mean, a few weeks ago that I just forgot to talk about. And it's Persona news, and I'm bringing it up because we talked about an article that Sega put out a while ago talking about how they want to start bringing the Persona series to the PC, which these games, it's a couple games that were announced that they haven't been confirmed for PC yet, just PS4 and Vita, but hopefully, you know, we can hope. But basically, it's a couple of spinoffs. It's Persona 5 Dancing Star Knight, which is just all the characters from Persona 5. It's a rhythm game, and they're all dancing. And it sounds dumb as hell, but they did the same thing for Persona 4, and it was just a lot of fun. Persona games always have really good soundtracks, and so it's just something about, it's something really charming about, like, seeing those characters, and you see, like, remixes and brand new songs made for the game, so I'm excited for that. And on top of that, they announced Persona 3, which was my personal favorite, which we haven't seen anything on that since like it came out on the PS2. And they're doing Persona 3 Dancing Moon Knight for that. And like, I'll be honest, I was disappointed like that it was a dancing game. I was hoping they'd do like a full remake, but seeing, you know, those characters and like the, you know, the mall from the game and different locations, you know, made for, you know, PS4 and just seeing them all upgraded just looked really cool. So yeah, both of those games are coming out on sometime in spring 2018, hopefully with a PC release. I've watched these trailers like 30 times because they have great music. But yeah, other than that, let's see.
I bet it's because of the music that you watch them 30 times.
Yeah, definitely the
music. Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, there's zero sexual stimulation in these trailers. I want to make that very clear.
Okay.
It's all music.
Sensual pleasures.
Wasn't able to make it to land. Why? He had to be benched in KB Mod.
Sensual pleasures? Hades had missed his flight because of all of his sensual pleasures, man. Just loses track of time.
Right. Unfortunately. God. All right, next up. Dot Hack is a video game series that came out on the PS2, which were some RPGs about playing in an online MMO, which didn't really take off, but surprising everybody, I never got to play these, but if you want to get your hands on the physical copies of these Dot Hack GU games, which was like the second trilogy of games they did, the first game's going for like 45 cash, the second and third are going upwards of like $90 cash for those. But thankfully, there's an option coming out in Dot Hack GU Last Recode, which is coming for PS4 and PC on Steam, which has the three games from the PS2 remastered in HD with really a ton of gameplay tweaks to make it, like, you know, friendlier for players and just quality of life changes. And then also they're working on a volume 4 for the game that will be included, which takes place after. So it's cool that, you know, 10 years later, this game gets a continuation to the story. So I'm pretty sure if you played that game, you're stoked for that. I know I'm stoked. I watched the anime back when that was going on Adult Swim late at night. Dot Hack Roots or whatever. Anyways, weep shit.
It's going back to great, the essential pleasure
story. Essential pleasure. Yeah. Oh God, that anime sucked.
A great story. Terrible. Yeah. I bet that's
I'll be on. You know, I watched it when I was a kid and I went back to it and it was like the most boring thing. Just so, I was looking at it through, what was it, like rose tinted glasses? Like, is that the expression? Like looking back on something fondly and then something like that. You know. Yeah. Finish it up, KD.
It's all right. We got one more. Oh no, Ori's not weeb shit. So
yeah, it's not weeb shit. But Ori and the Blind Forest, the sequel. Ori and the Will of the Wisps already was announced. And this is pretty cool. The person that created AM2R, another Metroid 2 remake, which basically came out, I think, almost a year ago, about. It was a full remake of the second Metroid 2, or the second Metroid game, like done really impressively before Nintendo shut it down. But thankfully, the developer of that was hired and is now working on Ori and the Will of the Wisps. So it's cool that, you know, he's able to, you know, get his work out there and make a name for himself. And yeah, he's got a job now because of all that. So maybe his labor, the fruits of his labor is what we're saying, basically.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Yeah. It kind of reminded me of how the Just Cause 2 multiplayer dev was hired by that company to work on 3.
Yeah, definitely. So, that's very reminiscent of that same situation. It's cool that he's working on the new Ori.
Oh yeah, it's good stuff.
All right, Katie, stop talking. Roll us into the.
Keep it going.
Do it.
Absolutely, yeah. New releases this week. We've got some good stuff actually. First up, StarCraft Remastered. We talked about this several times on the cast, but yeah, it's nothing too visually different in StarCraft Remastered, but it's going to be, you know, supporting higher resolutions, up to 4K. And other improvements, and that is coming out August 14th, today, gentlemen. Well,
today,
not for Brandon.
Today being Monday, the day after we are live, sort of. We crossed the midnight boundary in Eastern time.
Right, yeah. That line is making its way across the globe.
Yeah, I forgot it was coming out so soon, but it's out tomorrow. Awesome.
Yeah, it kind of snuck up on us. Yeah, I'm gonna have to. Not sure what the price is. I'll have to look that up real quick.
I think it's $15.
Yeah,
I think we had talked about that before. Yeah,
that's fair. That's really fair. Yeah, check that out. Next up, we're taking a nosedive in terms of quality. We're going there. This is a game on Steam called Shark Dating Simulator XL. And it's exactly how it sounds. It's coming to early access. It's a visual novel, which the screenshots for this game feature several lewd images of Shark Chan.
I've linked one of them in the chat. It is, of course, her breasts are pixelated out. But yes, it's nudity is one of the tags for this. That's not shocking.
Quite a lot of shark nudity in this game.
Yes.
Looks like two different shark waifus to choose from.
I feel like visual novels or whatever, and these dating sims basically exist to make you get boners over things that you would never even think to combine. Do you know what I mean? Like, right. They want to see what, like, kind of... I think it's evil. I think it's nefarious. It's like, I mean, not that I'm into this, but there's something about sexualizing a shark pig or whatever the heck that thing is. with some nice titties that makes me go, like, maybe? I don't know. Am I weird?
A shark pig. Yeah, I mean... That's kind of what it looks like.
Yeah.
Pretty much everything from the neck down looks all right.
I mean, yeah. I mean... Like, why? Like, I don't need any more confusion. I already browse like porn on the internet that in today's day and age where you get thumbnails for things, you're just like in categories. You're like, I didn't even know people are into that. So I don't need more of this on Steam. I don't know. It's just.
Right.
God damn it. Yeah, oh, I know there's a market for it. Yeah.
Will you be able to find the true ending and win the heart, among other things, of a 2,000 pound great white shark?
Among other things. Oh my God.
24 different endings. Holy shit.
I just love that they specifically, like, in the marketing, they're like, can you win the heart of a 2,000-pound great white shark? Which one of these screenshots looks like a 2,000-pound shark?
Oh, yeah. They don't want to spoil it? It's the true ending.
Maybe they don't show it. Yeah, maybe they don't show it.
Damn. All right, well, I'd be lying if I said my interest wasn't piqued.
yeah, that's true.
Gonna have to wishlist this real quick. Also, August 14th, if you're curious enough to make it with a shark, you can finally live out that fantasy.
And in case StarCraft Remastered wasn't quite your speed.
if somehow you're disappointed by that, then Shark Dating Sims got you covered. Next up, Night Trap. Yeah, some form of dating. Night Trap 25th Anniversary Edition comes out on Steam. I'll be honest, zero interest in this game.
Yeah, well, you're not even 25 years old. This game's older than you are.
this game is older than me. Yeah. I mean, I'll play like Mario or something and appreciate that, which came out far before I was born. But
I remember my only memories of Night Trap are we had this game on Sega CD, and I just remember it being incredibly difficult because, like, obviously I was very young, and I probably shouldn't. I mean, based on what I have since learned about Night Trap, like, I probably shouldn't have even been playing this game at that age. But I just remember it being very difficult. Like, I had no idea how to win. And it's just a very weird game. But now it has an anniversary edition. You all can enjoy Night Trap.
Mm.
There you go.
All right.
All right. Next up is a game which looks fairly interesting. It's called Greater Than Observer _. Now, most people will just call this Observer, but we were going to read this as written. It's the new horror game from the people who made Layers of Fear. And
looks interesting.
Yeah, it looks very atmospheric. I'm definitely getting Soma vibes from this, which is never a bad thing. Sure. It's looking like, just reading the description, what would you do if your fears were hacked? It's a cyberpunk horror game where you play as an observer, the new front line of neural police, as you hack into the jagged minds of the insane. So, yeah, it's not going to completely recite the about this game, but you kind of get the idea that, you know, pretty similar to Layers of Fear. I just hope that after playing Layers of Fear, I hope they can introduce more of a game in this, because
Layers of Fear was basically a haunted house that you walked through, essentially.
Exactly.
With a little bit of puzzles at some point, but not too much.
yeah, you get the story slowly fed to you.
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully the hacking bit can put in some interactivity.
Yeah, I mean, I like the what they're going with as far as the cyberpunk kind of, even though that's kind of a meme at this point, but I do like
right.
that angle. After playing Layers of Fear, where that was much, much different than the kind of vibe they're going with this. So.
Yeah, definitely. This looks good. I'm a huge fan of this art style, this whole aesthetic. Yeah. I feel like there's a game really similar to this that came out. I think we might have done a write-up for it on KB Mana. Yeah, it reminds me of that other horror game. I'll have to go back to that. But yeah, Observer comes out August 15th. And you can get a 20% off discount with the the Layers loyalty discount. I think it's just... Yeah, if you own
Layers?
If you own Layers of Fear. Okay, sweet. Yeah, me too.
Nice.
There you go. Yeah, I don't see... Yeah, you're not able to order it on Steam yet. But once it becomes available, that's a very small window to get that sell. But yeah, next up, which is a game, which this is a AAA title that I've only heard of a couple days ago.
Yeah, what the heck?
New game from Deep Silver, the makers of Saints Row, is Agents of Mayhem.
How have I not heard about this?
Agents of Mayhem, you run... Yeah, it looks like an action open world, you know, third person shooter. It looks like they're going with that kind of, you know, cartoony vibe that Saints Row is kind of tending to go towards like later on. So yeah, Agents of Mayhem, you run a no holds barred operation against a shadowy supervillain organization known only as Legion and the mysterious leader. All right, that tells me nothing about the game. Oh, 9 premier skins if you pre-purchase.
Oh, nice. There you go.
There you go. Well, yeah.
Tells you something.
Yeah.
The $60 title.
Yeah, $60. Yeah.
I am really not sure what this game is. It's just a lot of story and telling me that the agents have the license to do whatever the hell they want. It's single player. And I've learned nothing about this game from the About Me.
Yeah, it's kind of... Yeah, we'll have to see. But, I mean, generally, Saints Row games were good.
So, yeah, they're not a bad developer.
A little over the top as the series went on, just a bit, but that's kind of what they ended up being known for. Like the, like you said, the anime or the, I don't know, like watching some of the trailer stuff looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks good. We'll see how it turns out. But next up is a game which is it looks like it's going to be a sure bet. Nidhogg 2. Finally comes out just in time for Extra Life 2017.
Dude, that's awesome. Land. I'm excited.
Perfect. Yeah, it looks like a completely different game compared to Nidhogg. It looks like they took that concept and really rolled with it. You've got online multiplayer matchmaking, which is amazing. That
being
Nidhogg
added. Esports? I'm gonna
that's what I'm saying, dude. Nidhogg is so hyped too. Like, I could totally see that.
Yeah, one concern I have is, like, looking at this, it doesn't look as fast as the first Nidhogg. It looks like, if you compare, like, Melee to the new Smash Brothers, like, it looks like that kind of difference, but, you know, I can't really tell just from, you know, trailer footage. But yeah, they took that thing, it looks like they took what the first Nidhogg was lacking in, which was content, and they're kind of really erasing that issue. You've got 10 different levels. Four different weapons you can work with instead of just the rapier. You've got 8-player tournaments, full character customization,
and they've upgraded the visuals a hell of a lot to say.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
it went from really simplistic pixel art style to just a really, I don't know if I'd call it cartoony, but it was just really unique looking. And
I didn't even think about the fact with the online multiplayer, this could be a really fun stream game to play.
Oh, yeah.
Online. Like,
you can do like sub tournaments.
Yeah, absolutely. Nidhogg is, oh man, you get heated in Nidhogg, dude.
Gets you
pumped. So,
yeah, that's
seriously would love to see some like esports around a game as simplistic as Nidhogg.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be really entertaining because it's so easy to understand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
And this looks super well polished. I'm hyped. And the value on this too, if you pre-purchase it, $12.74.
Such a good price.
Yeah, that is a good deal.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be picking that up. So August 15th, and that's going to round out the new release section. Let's jump into some of your questions.
Let's do it. All right. Thank you, Katie. Great job, as always.
Thank you.
Our first question comes from Twitter, from Seth, and he asks us, what is your worst experience with spicy food?
Anything
come to mind? I'm curious to hear KD's, because I don't know. Do you like spicy food? Do you shy away?
Yeah, I'm not really good with spicy food. I really shy away from it. Like, I've only really had stuff like chili a handful of times.
Oh, boy. I think we're going to have to rope you into the spicy boneless wings challenge.
Oh, God. Yeah. You know, that's, I don't know if I'll, I heard you bring that up and I'm thinking, God, I need to go to this podcast dancing away from that issue.
From that issue. Yeah, you don't want to.
If I were you, I would have said, oh, yeah, man, I eat spicy food all the time.
I should have.
Can't think of a bad experience because I just love spicy food so much.
Katie, now we know.
I can't lie to you guys.
That's true. You're very honest. I mean, my worst experience was when I was living in South America, one of the first years I was there visiting somebody's house, and they love to play pranks on newcomers to the area. And there was this curry there that they told me wasn't spicy at all. And they played it real poker face. And I was a little bit, because I knew a lot of their food, the way that they made it was just way hotter than I would ever be used to. So they were like, yeah, no, just, no, it's pretty normal. It's pretty not spicy. And I took a massive mouthful, and I don't think I've ever been in that much like pain before. It lasted for what felt like 30 minutes, just absolutely on fire. Like tears. And then they were laughing so hard because they thought it was the funniest thing that this soft, newcomer to the area, got trolled. That's the other thing is that, it's a culture that loves to laugh at the misfortune of others. And that sounds like an asshole thing, but that's just the way that they are. And so like I was like in actual pain and there was no milk or anything to speak of. So I was just like pouring water into my mouth and on my tongue for like 30 minutes while they just were cackling and pointing at the one white dude in the village who was stupid enough to try their curry. So that was definitely not a fun experience, but it actually has helped mold me into I actually really do like hot food now. And curry is actually one of my, especially like a really nice hot curry. I love it. So, you know, it kind of formed my palate to what I am today. So I can't say it was all bad. But what about you, Brendan? Do you have a bad experience with hot food that you can think of?
I haven't really had something that I can think of as notable, like a really bad experience. Probably the worst experience I can think of was, I forget exactly what type of food it was. I want to say it was like maybe Thai food or like Chinese food or something. Basically one of the restaurants where like you tell them the level of spice that you want. And so, you know, it's like you can get like one pepper or two pepper or three pepper or four pepper or five pepper. But if you've never been to the restaurant before, you just have no idea what the scale is. And so I think I ordered, I was like, obviously I'm not going to get five pepper because that's like, generally that's like just crazy. I think I got like three or maybe I got four because I like, you know, I like spicy food. And I just remember getting it. And I think the bad part of the experience is like, I basically couldn't eat it. Like, I think I had a bite and I was like, this is not, it's not even good. It's just, it's so spicy. It's not even good. Yeah. And so the bad experience was that I didn't get to like eat that food. And I was, you know, you can't, when you're in that restaurant situation, you can't tell them, oh, hey, can I get one that's less spicy? Because, like, you chose the spice. So you're the idiot that chose it that was too spicy. So I had, you know, I just sat there, I guess, pretending like I wasn't as hungry and ate side dishes and stuff. But I can't, I mean, I haven't had a bad experience in that, like, it made me feel a bad way because I'm generally pretty, you know, if I have a bite of something and it's way too hot for me, I just won't eat any more of it.
Gotcha. I'm going to just read this because even though he put a ha-ha and made me cringe twice, I'd just rather drink a cold cup of McDonald's Sprite that's spicy enough for me. Spinach. Oh, boy. Oh, man. I mean, I will say I've definitely, as I've gotten older, there's a couple things that have happened. One of the things, palate-wise, is I definitely, when it comes to, like, I like unsweetened tea and stuff that's more bitter. And I have my enjoyment of spicy food has actually increased a lot. Yeah. I actually really enjoy spicy foods more than I did when I was younger. So I don't know if that could just be me, but
yeah, maybe I also, I mean, I don't go out of my way to seek spicy food, but I generally am fine with like stuff that I think normal people consider to be spicy.
Right.
I like spicy stuff. Like I'll put jalapenos on things. I'll use, I'll use hot sauce on stuff. But I don't go out of my way to put something crazy hot. Like I don't own any like ghost pepper sauce or something ridiculous. Like, you know, I'll put Tabasco or Cholula or like normal hot sauce that's not really that bad.
Yeah. So
I don't go out of my way to use spicy stuff.
And that's the other thing too. Like once you start, if you do start going out of your way, I don't know, I would be a little bit more extreme. I wouldn't say I always go out of my way, but if something is spicy, I will choose it sometimes over something else that wouldn't be. And you do, it's just like anything else. You build up like a somewhat of a tolerance, right? So
yeah, like the spiciest stuff I seek out is probably like if we go and eat pho at a Vietnamese place, you know, I'll put like a bunch of spicy stuff in it and that will make you sweat. But it's like, it's a good, I enjoy that. Like, I enjoy that spicy sweat. But I don't just eat spicy stuff for the sake of it being spicy.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, and Katie, what I love about this question is Katie is going to have an answer, for podcast 2 weeks from now. About what
I will.
Spicy food was.
And, so you know,
I look forward to that.
What am I trying to say? I don't want to leave you guys without a Katie story and, you know, without any spicy food. I'll just jump to like my worst food experience in my life. In high school, I went to, I went to Japan Club in high school when I was taking Japanese. It was like the highlight of my high school life was that club. It was a really great time. But, one of the things we did one time was everybody tried, natto. Mm. I don't know if you guys have heard of this. Mm. It's the worst food I've ever had. It's like traditional, like fermented soybeans that are like powerful smell. So they're like slimy and sticky and they like stick so aggressively to your teeth. And once you get that taste in your mouth, they're like in there for like, no matter how much you drink, you feel like, you know how sometimes when you puke and your teeth feel kind of gross after that, it's like that kind of multiplied and everywhere. It was absolutely disgusting. And like the contest was like how many natto beans you could eat. And I made it through a couple and it was just absolutely gross. Like, it destroyed me. I immediately left the classroom, sprint down the hallway to the vending machine, begging people for cash, got a Sprite, saved the day.
Wow.
And it was
ice cold Sprite and everything was fine.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? It helped. Oh yeah, I mean the spicy Sprite. I wasn't even thinking about that.
I have to give an honorable mention here, just because this story is absolutely insane to me. Siak said that we once made a lasagna for 12 people and made it vegetarian for a friend by replacing all the ground beef in the recipe by volume for ground garlic.
Oh my god!
That's horrifying.
I don't even know. Like, yeah, even just hearing that, I'm in pain. Eyes are tearing up.
Terrible.
Like when I think of garlic, I enjoy garlic in food.
Sure.
But you just, I mean, there you can like it is all about moderation with garlic. Oh, wow.
That is,
replaced it by volume. How lasagna has so much ground beef.
That's so much. Yeah. That's.
Wow. Okay. I feel like my bad food experiences here are very tame. Compared to the audience.
Yeah, I think so. That's crazy. Well, good question from Seth. We're going to move on to a email from Will McCuck, a.k.a. Will Hull. And I believe he has a question at the end here. But let's take a look here. It is I again, Will Hull, a.k.a. Will McCuck, with another story about my adventures to my local Dennis. Denny's.
Dennis.
Dennas. They finally updated their menu and added the Skrillies. Nice. The skillets. Katie, that you told him to get that he couldn't get before.
Oh, great.
He's referring to it as a Skrilly, but,
It's a Skilly. Skilly.
Oh, a Skilly. I'm sorry. I'm reading it. I don't see the R. I saw the R for some reason. Sorry.
Anytime you see the S and the K, you just automatically think Skrill.
I just think of Skrill because I'm such a huge EDM fan. You know what I mean? The skillet was pretty good. Now on to my question. I listened to last week's podcast. No, sorry. Go ahead, Getty. What? Go ahead.
No, I was just saying he said it was pretty okay. Not good.
Yeah, I said it was pretty okay. I listened to last week's podcast about VOL11111TION's excursions, and I heard him, and I heard about him spending quite a bit of time on some Wagyu from Hokkaido. It just so happens that this is where I was conceived, and I know what you're thinking. Wow, Will Hull is a very interesting name for someone who is half Japanese. It is a very common name from around those parts, trust me. My question for the cast is, if an ambulance is on the way to help someone and it runs another said person over, does it stop to help the pedestrian they hit or keep going to help the initial person, a person they were supposed to save?
God damn.
Oh, wow.
Well,
that was a 180.
That was a real 180.
That didn't go where I was thinking.
God damn it.
I mean, what kind of ambulance would it be if it didn't help that person that they wounded? I mean, you can't exactly hit and run.
Yeah, that's a tough one, man. You don't want to hit and run in an ambulance because then you're still liable. I think if you're in the ambulance and you hit somebody, you got it. Wow, that's tough, though. I mean, it's tough. Because also the person that you were originally, you know, called to save, maybe they're in some, maybe they're bleeding out. You know, you stop for the person that you hit. Maybe they're not dead yet. Maybe they're just a little injured. I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah, I'm sure there's probably actual protocol for when this happens. Like, if an ambulance gets in an accident of some sort, I'm sure there's probably a specific set of instructions for what they do. My guess would be that even though it sounds like they should stop because they're an ambulance, if they already have one person in the ambulance, they probably can't take a second person. So you probably, like, obviously the ambulance would have quick access to 911 and the other ambulances in the network. So they would probably immediately call, you know, the police and the other ambulances, give them their exact location, and then keep going.
Yeah.
Maybe. That's my guess.
I looked it up.
That's what they do.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, what did you find?
It's looking like they send another ambulance before that accident.
Right. Yeah, because if you have someone in the ambulance already, you probably can't fit another person, and that person is obviously dying if they're in an ambulance. So
right, exactly.
Yeah, actually, I mean, if you're gonna be hit, if you're gonna be hit by a car, no better car to be hit by than an ambulance. Yeah,
that's true. Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm.
Great.
Very nice.
All right.
That's a good question. It's a little mind bender.
It is. It is for sure. Thank you, Will McCuck. Appreciate it, Will Hull. All right. We've got the continuation of the Katie Mott screenplay from Love Muffin. Katie, you didn't hear the one in the previous. Well, we didn't have one last week, but he's back this week. And I think you should take it away.
All right. Let's do this. When we last left our heroes, they had evacuated the bathroom after a stirring speech from Papa Barndor. We were about to embark on Operation Pinch a Loaf. However, Katie inadvertently chose the answer to the next set of questions, so we will be skipping over Operation Pinch a Loaf and heading straight to D, a West Coast wing joint. Yeah, I mentioned last time when we were reading that we might as well just skip over that.
Yes, true.
Well, not to skip it, but like what our next answer would be. But yeah, here we go. No! Brad drops to his knees and wipes mac and cheese off of Papa Barndor's naked comatose body. Oh my god.
That image.
That guy caught me so off guard.
Oh no.
That's the first line?
Wow. Can I just say the sentence just continues to get better?
Oh no. His hands. Oh. Okay. His hands trails over the enormous Harambe tattoo emblazoned on his chest. The tattoo still throbs with pure meme energy. Brad looks to KD and says, "Let's transition out of here."
Oh my god.
"I'll do it," says KD excitedly. "No, that's not what I meant," pleads Brad. "I got this," KD continues, not hearing them. Brad begs now, "No, why you do this?" But this train is already off the rails. Speaking of transitions, wait, no, I've got better one. Colonoscopies. No. You know who else has hair? Probably someone at the West Coast wing joint Papa Barndor told us to go to. Oh my god. What a rip on my terrible.
Wow. On your segues, dude.
Oh my god. Got him. They both stand in stunned, scared silence for a moment. Then they grab Papa Barndor and get in the big muffler car. When they reach the restaurant, Papa Barndor is propped up Weekend at Bernie's style in the backseat. The crew consider the establishment, and Katie asks, "Why are we here?" Suddenly, Adagio for Strings starts playing softly. Boom! A slow-motion explosion consumes the wing joint, and the sign crashes to the ground. It says, "No Man's Sky hype-as-fuck chicken wings." From out the ball of flame. Oh, yeah. From out the ball of flames comes the figure. Not looking back, of course. Adagio for Strings transitions seamlessly to Lifehouse's sick cycle carousel.
Yes!
What the fuck? The figure materializes, and as a fiery red neckbeard comes into view, they hear the figure rap. Only serving rat. Okay. Only serving ranch. That's a crime. The plebs have done that for the last time.
Yes.
Bars.
Yes.
Does the KB Mod Squad A, break the curse that makes APL speak in rap? B, go to post-apocalyptic Philadelphia endgame? Or C, seek a sorcerer to revive Papa Barndor? Love, love, love.
Holy shit, dude.
Oh, that was, what a, that was so good.
What an episode. What a craziness.
That was like craziness. A sick anime ending. Like, we got some revelations. APL made his appearance.
Yeah, I'm here now. Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, I don't think we want to do endgame, right? Yeah.
No, definitely not. And I really don't want to break your curse, because I quite like it when you speak.
Yeah, so I'm kind of down to see if
we try and revive Papa Barndor.
I think we do, right? I mean, that Harambe tattoo is still throbbing with pure meme energy. So
I was going to say, we learned that I've got a Harambe tattoo on my chest. So, and if it's still throbbing with pure meme energy, that something tells me that there's a revival that's possible. Need to find the right person.
That transition was so good. Speaking of transitions, wait, no, I've got a better one. Colonoscopies. No. You know who else?
it was so good. I mean, this is somebody that, like, Love Muffin is somebody that knows this podcast like the back of his goddamn hand. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for
this
sure.
This can only be written by somebody who listens every week and
picks
up all of
the serious meta jokes here.
Oh, yeah.
This is next level. This is starting to ascend for me, Katie, I mean, it already kind of has, but this is on par with some of the stuff that you have done.
It's not better. Yeah. This is really, really good.
I think you have like the wordplay down perfectly in your prior submissions, but I think the story here and the cohesion is pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's great.
It's pretty solid.
It's really good. Like there's love in this one.
Yes,
absolutely. It's not something that you would listen to one episode and then make a joke out of. It's something that you know after, you know, like countless podcasts I've had fucked up transitions and segues.
Exactly. So, yeah,
he's like, he's really good stuff. Yeah,
good stuff. Love, right, so keep it coming.
So
all right,
so
our official
option C, we're gonna seek a sorcerer.
Yeah, I think it's unanimous option C.
All right, cool. Looking forward to that one. I'm trying to get revived out here.
Spill the mac and cheese on your body.
Naked body.
Why are you naked?
I don't know what happened why he's naked.
That first sentence caught me so off guard because I was like, wait a minute, mac and cheese, I'm naked and I'm like dead? What? Did I miss something?
We missed an episode. We're gonna have to wait for the Pinch of Loaf DLC that explains
how you got there.
For a second. Oh my god.
Yeah, right. That sounded like a side quest that we sort of skipped over.
Right, yeah.
Wow, that was great. All right, thanks again, Love Muffin. So, all right, and this is where we're going to transition into the iTunes podcast review of the week, and we've got a dandy one this week. So I'm really excited. You guys have been coming in hot and crispy with the reviews. So
yeah, it seems like someone's actually figured out the instructions for leaving a review.
Yeah. They 100% have. And if you would like to hear those instructions one more time, you can go to iTunes on your device, on your PC, just log into your account, look up KB Mod Podcast, find us, leave a 5-star review, and then write anything you want in the box. It can be a story, it can be anything else. And if it's good enough, we'll read it on the cast. So this review is called Keeping It 100. It is, of course, 5 stars, and it is by Caillou Hodes.
Is there any
Hodes family?
I'm a member of the Hodes. Yes.
Is there any swearing in this? Because I really want Brandon to read this. Just so you know, we each had emails.
That's true. That's true. I don't see any swears. So Brandon, if you want to read this, feel free.
Okay. I mean, this looks like quite a tribute here.
this is.
Oh my god.
All right, let's see. So this is Keeping It 100. It's by Caillou Hodes. 5 stars, of course. There he woke, in the same place he did every morning at 4:20 a.m., sensually spooning his busty body pillow. KD thought to himself, something needs to change. Today I am 21. I am finally a full-grown man-child. I can do better than this. He softly whispered, I need to fidget spin this situation.
Damn it!
How could he do it? His hopes were lower than his sadly sinking, saggy sack. He knew that only one man could help him make that change. But this man has been missing for weeks. Hutchison 15 was last apodded. I assume they mean spotted, but we read it as written. Hutchison 15 was last spotted traversing treacherous trails in the Northwest to get dank pictures and become Instagram famous. Can KD find this marvelous man? Will he survive the wild wastelands of the Northwest? Find out next time on Keeping It 101, The Neckbeard Incident.
Wow.
Wow. So we've got another narrative, maybe?
Another, yeah, maybe a narrative playing out.
Is Caillou working with someone else in the Hodes family to create a narrative in iTunes reviews?
Together.
My God.
Wow, that's
quite
me.
A start.
I need to fidget spin the
situation around. God damn it, I'm going to...
Jesus Christ.
And also, sadly sinking saggy sack is a...
That's good, there's some good alliteration in here. Traversing treacherous trails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like
it. I'm so glad Brandon read
that. It feels like we kind of like came in at the end of like a serial radio program. Do you know what I mean? The way that it closed out.
Yeah.
Like, find out next time on Keeping It 101.
This was the next one.
You had a great voice for doing that.
That was good, Brandon. Yeah. Very good.
Like, there's got to be a couple donation sounds in there somewhere.
Mm. Yeah, well, but, I think I recall an extra life where I believe we read 50 Shades of Grey as donation incentives. So I have a little bit of practice here.
That's true.
That was pretty good.
This
though.
Is just.
I'd love to see a sequel to this, but it has to be submitted in iTunes review format.
Of course, of course.
Mm-hmm. Gotta, even if it's making alternate accounts.
No, I mean, I have a feeling that there's an underground of people waiting to continue this narrative. So
yeah.
The question is whether there's a planned continuation or whether it is now up to the audience, someone else in the audience, to create Ooh. Keeping It 101, The Neckbeard Incident.
They could assume the name.
Yeah.
Then we end up getting multiple submissions.
Maybe. Or maybe that's the point, is that each week it's up to the next person to continue the chain.
Ooh. Mm. There's a lot of potential here.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to say, when the audience does good, we gotta give them props. I mean, I'm telling you, man, we've had good reviews the past 2 weeks. We've had obviously Muffin for multiple weeks, good questions, good emails from Will Hull and others. I have to say, the interactions and the quality have been very good, so let's keep it at that level. I'm really impressed. So I think that's going to do it for episode 289 of the KB Mod Podcast. Guys, do not forget, Extra Life is going down. At the time of listening to this, if you're listening to the audio version on Tuesday, Extra Life is even closer. Remember, it is the 18th through the 20th this weekend. Twitch.tv/KBMod, KBMod.com. You can check out the schedule and all that stuff when that's going to be up. And please join us. It's going to be, again, I'm not going to promise it's going to be the best one ever, but I feel like every year has improved on the year before. Tons of people coming into town for it. Going to be tons of donation incentives. Going to be a lot of games played. Going to be a really, really good time. People are going to be eating spicy food they don't want to eat. Rock band. I mean, it's just always one of the best weekends of the year. So,
and we should please join. Also mention, just for the podcast, so we won't have a podcast next Sunday night, so it won't be at normal time. We'll do like we typically have at past Extra Life lands, and we're going to do a podcast Saturday evening.
Yes.
So Saturday, August 19th at around 10 p.m. The timing is always a little bit in flux. But we'll do a podcast. It won't be a normal podcast, but it will be live from Extra Life land. And that'll be on Saturday night. So don't come here Sunday night at 10, because that's like right after literally everything is over. So we won't have a regular podcast that weekend. But we will have one on Saturday. So, you know, still come out and, but you should already be out. Basically, if you come just for the podcast, you're doing it wrong, because the podcast is probably the least, like the least interesting thing that happens all weekend. The rest of it is honestly,
there's so much
fun.
Yep. Totally. So, yeah. Thanks again, as he says through his yawn. Again, Katie, just not really put the
next kidding. Oh my God. And then he crashes again.
Yeah, then you crash and then you can't talk again.
No, oh my God.
It's gonna be great. So, or as the kids say, it's gonna be lit. So yeah. So thanks again for listening, and we will see you guys this weekend for the Extra Life LAN. See you later.
Yatta!